Hello and welcome back to the DieCast. This is your host, Jacob Hall, and to my left is my co-host, Mr. Daniel Kalbacher. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
And what are we playing today, Daniel?
We are playing Durrance.
And what is Durrance?
Well, Durrance is a role-playing game where we will play as a number of people on a prison colony in the future.
More specifically, a prison colony on a distant planet. It's interesting, this game is actually inspired by the founding of Australia, where England sent all of its convicts out to start farming and mining this new continent, and lo and behold, Australia was born.
Now, are there space kangaroos here?
There could be. Durrance is designed by Jason Morningstar, the man behind Fiasco, which you remember from our very first episode of the DieCast. And like that, it's a collaborative storytelling game where we're all going to work together to tell a story. There's no DM, there's no winners, it's just all of us trying to find the best solutions to interesting problems that we create for each other's characters. Well, I'm joined by a few other special people today. Sitting beyond Daniel to my left is Miss Tony Salisbury.
Hello.
And you were here for a Fiasco game.
Yes, I was, and it was quite the fiasco. My vow today was to never use an accent, so you're welcome for that.
And sitting next to her is Mr. Tyler Major. How are you, Mr. Tyler Major?
Pretty good, thank you.
And what is your RPG experience?
I played some D&D when I was younger. When I got older, actually in college, we made our own D&D games. Like, we created all the rules and all that stuff. And so that's primarily where my most recent experience has been, is basically just making shit up as we go along, which should be very helpful in a game like this.
And you claim to be a writer, so let's see how
this
works.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Next to him is returning for the first time since our first or second episode, the lovely George Hickman. Say hello, George.
Hello.
And what's your RPG experience?
I can't remember the last time I played Dungeons & Dragons, but I think I haven't played any role-playing games, like pen and paper role-playing games, since I lost my virginity. But that only happened last week, so...
Whoa. What's it like?
It's kind of like dancing.
Horizontal dancing.
Yes.
With some thrusting, right?
And two left feet.
George, what is a lady like?
I never said it was a lady.
Okay, so Durrance is divided into two big halves. There's a setup half, which we're going to do for you right here. You can skip ahead if you want to, but it should be fun, so don't, you assholes. Then we get to the actual storytelling part, where we'll tell the story of our desperate, desolate, and most likely utterly violent prison colony. That was a dog. That was actually Mr. Brian Salisbury's dog. You can cut this out, Daniel.
It was actually a space
can
dog.
I?
Alright, so for those of you at home, here's how Durrance works. We will pass around some sheets and cross out certain things. We'll explain them in detail in a moment. Which will lead us to a certain code, which will lead us to the rule book, which will give us a description of our planet, and then our prison colony, and then other vital parts. And we'll all design characters. We will each have two characters apiece. And we'll start role-playing. And the idea behind Durrance is that each of our characters will have an unbreakable vow, an oath, something that they have said they will never, ever break. Our goal in Durrance is to put these oaths clashing together to the point where characters are forced to break them and are forced to essentially give up on themselves and the people they love. So it should be pretty dramatic. And here's my challenge to everyone at this table today. As much fun as it is to get silly instantly, and you listen to our Fiasco episode where Cthulhu showed up out of nowhere, Jason Morningstar himself, the designer of Fiasco and Durrance, has said that the games are more satisfying when you try to take them seriously and actually stay a little small and try to stay character-based. And I happen to agree. The best games of Fiasco I've ever played have been games where the climax was a priest stabbing a pedophile with a broken DVD instead of Cthulhu showing up. So that's how we're going to go for that today. We're going to try to be a little more straightforward, a little more serious, and hopefully tell a compelling story. If things get silly, it's entirely our fault. But that is our goal. All right. So here's the start of the game. Looking at our planetary survey, this is what was sent back to us, sent back to the government, when the scouts came back looking for good prison colony planets. They told us that our planet had excellent atmosphere, that the geology was stable, the biology was benign, that the climate was mild, and the hydrology was favorable, and that intelligent life was absent. Half of these are true, half of them are completely false. Now I'm going to pass the sheet to Daniel. He's going to circle one that's true and cross out one that's false. Daniel? If you want to do the honors of being the first person to design our planet.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
So what's true and what's false?
So should we go based entirely on the Australia model? Because then we should definitely cross out benign biology.
See, I think I really want to go for our first one. That, well, they lied to us. Intelligent life is not absent.
Ooh. What is true?
What is true? Well, the climate is mild.
That's fair.
It's nice. It's decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? We definitely are going with Australia.
I'm really glad that you did the intelligent life thing, because that's exactly what I was going to do. And I want there to be aliens.
As a biologist, I, of course, have to go with terrible, horrible biology. And as a geologist, I have no idea what's going on there, so I'm definitely going to go with it's stable.
All right, Tyler, you wrap up our planet for us?
All right, so I have atmosphere is excellent, and hydrology is favorable.
We got clean drinking water, Tyler.
So either we have awful air, or we have awful water. One of the two. Thanks, guys.
No worries, man.
Well, lung cancer... 20 years down the line.
I'm actually going to go a little bit scientific with this and say that potentially we could be bringing clean water with us or getting it shipped to us from home.
But we're on a desolate prison colony.
I agree. Yeah.
Desolate.
But what I'm saying is that if we don't even have clean air...
transport coming, delivering supplies, we would probably hijack them and leave.
But what I'm saying is if we don't have clean air, then we're going to die immediately. So
we could have pressurized suits, though, is all I'm
that's
saying.
True. Oh, spacesuits are fun. All right, so
you know what's more fun? When you go out in a spacesuit chasing a fugitive and you get a tear in your spacesuit.
All right, so we're gonna go with a horrible atmosphere and awesome water for some reason
that we can't drink.
That we can't drink.
Get to it through our spacesuits.
All right, I can't wait to decide how, like, not how awful the atmosphere, but how the atmosphere is awful.
Yeah.
Like, what is the thing that's maybe destroying our lungs?
And maybe it actually is okay.
Excellent is very bad, it's just bad.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, maybe the biology and the bad atmosphere to go together, and it's microbes in the
air.
Atmosphere.
And they get into your lungs
yeah.
and
also, it's
create spores.
So the atmosphere isn't excellent, but it's pretty good. Yeah.
So, but who here has the best handwriting?
Not me.
I'll do it.
All right, Tony? You will lend your ladyly scrawl. Ladyly scrawl.
Ladyly scrawl.
Ladylike.
The name of our planet is Twins World. That's T-W-Y-N-N apostrophe S World. Let me read to you out loud.
As soon as I conquer this place, I'm renaming the planet. Yeah.
All right. Here's the planetary survey. Here's what we were told. We get on a spaceship and head it out. I have named this planet after myself. Because it's such a promising prospect that I am sure it will be enshrined forever by this action. Twins World has a stable geological profile, a gentle climate, and abundant water. Recommended for colonization. Twin, Captain Survey Vessel. Okay, that's what we were told. When we arrived, here's what we found. The atmosphere is dense and difficult to breathe, making field work slow and painful. Local flora is alternately aggressive and explosive.
Hooray, exploding flora!
Aggressive
flora.
And explosive. Intelligent creatures are very hostile. Coming here was a mistake.
Yes! I'm so happy with this decision.
All right, now here's where you can start writing down some notes. Here are some details we can choose to take into our story or choose not to. Twins Abyss, Uncharted Cave System, and Bolter Haven. Bolters are fugitive convicts. We'll get to that in a second. Number two, a garden of death cultivated by a madman.
Oh my god!
An 8-foot animal snare pole modified to deliver an electric shock.
Is that the third thing?
That's the third one, yes. A rare shrub yielding berries with hallucinogenic properties.
Again, Australia.
An abandoned research station with windows shattered outwards. And finally, in quotation marks, Creech tried to reason with it.
Creech?
The name Creech tried to reason with it.
How do you spell Creech?
That's C-R-E-E-C-H. Okay. Like I said, those are all just atmospheric flavors. You can run with them or you can choose not to.
Okay.
So the next step, we have our planet. We have Twins World. Is it Twins World?
Twins World.
Twins World. Now, George, you'll be the first one to help decide our colonial record. Here is what here's in the report we send back home to Earth. Here's what we say about our colony. Planning is meticulous. Workforce is motivated. Order is well established. Density is low. Prosperity is high. And justice is universal. George, which one is true and which one is false?
Well, justice is universal. It's false.
Cross out the letter.
Oh, sorry.
Which one is true, though? So there's no justice here, but which one is true?
No, there's justice. This is not universal. I would say prosperity.
So everybody's really, really well off then, right? Like they're doing pretty well. Yeah, they're doing pretty well.
Okay. Oh, so prosperity is high?
Prosperity is high.
Now, prosperity could mean the people, but it could also mean our workload. We could be sacrificing justice to get our crops out.
Yeah.
All right, so it's back to me now. Okay, prosperity is high. Justice is not universal. Order is well established.
Ooh. Interesting.
So
that to me sort of
conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that indicates maybe a possible corrupt authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The workforce is not motivated.
Oh, even though production is high.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Daniel, wrap up our colony.
Well, we have either planning is meticulous or density is low. And I'm assuming that's population density or
How crowded together we are. Are we sharing beds yet?
I would say since the atmosphere is pretty rough, people are probably going to be together. You know, it's not going to be very easy to expand the size of the place.
Also, a well-planned place where order is well-established, that kind of has a great authoritarian vibe
yes.
to it.
That was kind of the direction I was swinging in, and that's the direction we're going in. The planning is meticulous. Density is high, guys.
Okay, so our colony is UXY. Let me find out. With the name for colony. Tony, get that pen ready.
It is ready.
UXY. Our colony's name is Burkstown. Burke apostrophe S town.
You and me both, George.
Burkstown. Here's how the authority, the government, and the guards describe the prison colony of Burkstown. Burkstown is on solid footing after a few uncertain months. The colony was well organized from the beginning, and our governor has had long vision of order and progress that's carried us far. Walk around Burkstown, inside the walls or out, and you'll see prosperous farms and obedient lags hard at work, bettering themselves and the colony. Here is the prisoner's point of view. Would Burke be proud of this? Would Burke be proud of his town? Not if he stayed long enough to see see through the tidy walkways, the freshly painted buildings, and the functional defensive walls. What he'd see if he lingered here was a virtual police state, a vicious authority mob using terror as a cudgel to keep the lags in line. He'd see food rationing as a weapon, men working only when forced to, a disaster waiting to happen.
We done good, guys.
So here are our optional details. One, the governor's underground mansion. A badly forged ration card. A hidden stash of delicious food, now gone bad. A secret clubhouse for the authority elite, overlooking the colony and serving the very best food. Authorities' yearly report, larded with lies but electronically compromised by savvy lags. A woebegone line of men shuffling toward the horizon. Like, these are flavor things. If we can bring them to the story, it's fantastic. Just ideas to help you get in the mood. Otherwise, you can have fun with them any way you want to. Alright, the last part of our planet is what drives us. There are six things that people could potentially want in a hellhole like this. Control, status, safety, harmony, indulgence, and freedom. Our job is to pick which one is on the mind of every single person here, prisoner and authority alike. What do we want? So Tony, it comes to you. You will cross out one of these. What is something that we do not want? What is the least prioritized thing on that sheet?
Space dog.
Space dog. That's space dog, guys. Not a real dog.
Not a real dog.
He's here for atmosphere. We rented him from Mars.
We do not want indulgence.
What's he barking at?
We do not want indulgence. Tyler, what else do we not want?
Okay, I have to choose between control, status, safety, harmony, or freedom to get rid of. I think what drives us is not safety. Because of the police state, I think people feel relatively at ease, the higher ups do anyway.
Good thinking. All right, George.
All right, and what drives us is definitely not harmony.
All right, so what's left of me is control, status, and freedom. Well, here's some examples: the idea of clubhouses and mansions. I definitely want to keep status in there. So I'm gonna cross out freedom. Daniel, it's your deciding factor.
Man, I am totally crossing out control then.
So everybody wants status, huh?
Everyone status. Wants status in some way or another. Tony, you want to do our status to our final sheet there?
Yes, I do. It says drive, and I really wanted to write stratus, because that's far. Oh, God.
So let's put this sheet in the middle of the table. This will be our game sheet for the entire game. A new planet, Twins World. Our new home, Berkstown. Everyone wants status. All right, so looking at this right now, these are the three uncertainty drives. Whenever you come to a point in the game where the scene does not have an obvious conclusion, or no one knows how it should end, we consult these three things in the dice. We have status, we have servility, we have savagery. So I'm going to pre-roll all three dice right now.
Oh.
Servility at 5.
Already?
Oh my god!
Alright, I just rolled 3 fives. if it did the in-game, it would trigger an epic event. Or trigger an epic event. Excuse me, I'm in character already as a character. Well, we'll get to that later. Let's see. And, okay, that's more like it. Civility 3, savagery 1, and status 4. So in scenes, what will happen is a person who's not involved in the scene, the person who's guiding the scene, will then re-roll two of these dice and pick one number that beats the others, or beats the other in a circular clockwise fashion, the way that balances civility, savagery, and status. And the scene must end in that way. So if it's a confrontation between two characters, well, we roll dice, pick one of the larger numbers, and say that scene must end in a way that enforces the need for status. And the people acting at the scene will have to take that in mind and end the scene. So the idea is that Durance is always giving us guidance and suggestions, but never actually telling us how to play the game. The game is entirely on us. And like Fiasco, you're going to hear us pause the game, you're going to hear us break for discussion, you're going to hear us saying, I have no idea what to do, what should I do, guys? Think of this as a writer's room, a TV writer's room meets an improv session. The idea is that we're all here to have fun, and we're all here to, like, just make a good story. So if you're looking for a perfect role-playing, fuck you, we're here to have fun and tell a good story first. Okay. So here are the people who are involved in the prison. You guys please chime in if you to help me describe these if you want to. There's the authorities, who are led by the governor. He's the authority's highest-ranked official. He's the guy who's in charge of everything. Good, bad guy, who knows, we'll figure it out. Below him are the functionaries. And one of us will either play the judge advocate or the captain of marines. Judge advocate does court martials, enforces the law, and generally I picture him wearing a big wig, right, guys?
Yeah, and can't he or she be the one that ousts the governor? Like,
yes.
They can basically say, you are no longer governor at any point.
Yeah, so judge advocate is the only person who can legally oust the governor. Captain of marines could too, with a gun.
Yeah.
So the captain of marine is the head of security, head of all the guards. He's probably one of the very few soldiers on the base who's well educated. Once again, good guy or bad guy, we'll find out. The free colonists, the people who came here of their own volition. Swells, planters, and spouses. Spouses, naturally, are the wives of the higher-ranking authority people.
Or husbands.
Or husbands, yes. we have the planters, who are people running farms and mines, usually, with the prisoners doing backbreaking labor for them. We have the swells, who are just other free colonists. Maybe they come here to open a shop, maybe open a bar. Maybe they're a priest, but they're people here because they want to be. They usually made a huge mistake. Blue Mother Marines, they're the grunts, the guys with the guns, the guys enforcing the law. And like the criminals, they're usually uneducated. They usually didn't want to come here, and they're now regretting it. And they're usually pretty easy to corrupt. Hint, hint. We have the Emancipists, who are former convicts, who are now free and living amongst the authority. But they are not on the same level as other free colonists. They are bottom of the ladder, they're treated like scum. They have the worst land, they have the worst jobs, and maybe they regret becoming free. Maybe they have better off in a cell than they do now. So that's the ladder of authority. There's a matching ladder that'll be next to them, of 5 additional ranks of convicts. The very top of the chain is the Dimber Damber, who's sort of this playful, silly name, but he's actually Don Corleone. He runs things. You don't do a hit. You don't smuggle food. You don't do anything unless it goes through him. That applies to all convicts, and may even apply to the government. For all we know, he's more powerful than the governor in our game. Below him are his two right-hand men. We pick one to play as. The abbot or the Captain Sharp. The abbot is Robert Duvall in The Godfather. He gets things done. He keeps the paperwork flowing. He keeps everything hidden well. He gets make sure everyone gets paid and everyone's happy. The Captain Sharp is the guy who bludgeons heads in. He's the guy who, when you piss off the Dimber Damber, he comes in with his big stick and takes care of you. Below them are the bolters. They're the convicts who've escaped and are living on the fringes of everything. Maybe they're living in the walls. Maybe they're living outside of the colony itself. And the idea is that they escaped, maybe they're Robin Hoods, they're delivering food to the starving people. Maybe they're just on the run and they're desperate only out for themselves.
Possibly they have a haven in an uncharted cave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of them. Maybe the bolter is actually plotting to overthrow the government from outside. Who knows? Next rung is the convicts, of which there are lags and sables. Lags are your standard convicts. Most people here are petty criminals, so they're thieves, prostitutes, robbers, con artists. And then the sables, who are the people who have entered sexual relationships with others, either authority or convicts, to secure safety or food or a better place to sleep. And they're just seen as people who are selling their bodies to get ahead. Sometimes maybe it could be something that no one cares about, or could be something that people care a lot about. Who knows? Finally, are the outcasts, the wreckers and the crawlers. Wreckers are political prisoners, terrorists, corrupt politicians, people who did such extreme damage that they're sentenced to the hardest work, and everybody hates them, even the other convicts. They are the lowest of the low. But possibly even lower, actually, are the crawlers, who are the mentally feeble, the insane, the crippled, the people who have no more options and are completely useless. Maybe, like I said, we don't know the story. Maybe they were once a great soldier or a great criminal, but now they've lost it all. Who knows? So, Tony was the next person in line. So your job now, Tony, is to pick one of these jobs, come up with a character name, and pass it on. This will be one of your characters. And Tony, do you want to create your own character name, or do you want to roll one?
No, I'll create my own character name.
Okay. Oh, you have your own pen, don't you?
Oh, yeah, okay. I do. All right.
And remember, if you pick the governor, you can't be the Dimber-Damber. You can't have two people in the same rung on our side. You have to have two different statuses.
You know, I think I'm going to go with a minion, and I am going to be the abbess. The abbess Buteo.
Buteo?
Buteo. The abbess Buteo.
Tell us about abbess Buteo. What's your temperament?
Abbess Buteo is, she's not someone to fuck with, but she'll listen if you give her reason.
So she's pretty stable, nice, like, not nice, but she's reasonable.
Reasonable.
Great. And Heidi can pick either a convict or an authority for your first character.
Lots of choices. I think I'm going to pick a bolter, actually. I like the idea that maybe this madman that is cultivating the Garden of Death is actually a bolter, is somebody who was in the colony and then escaped. And the reason why he escaped is because he learned how to use the berries for their hallucinogenic properties and created a whole drug cartel for the convicts. And
this is fantastic.
Yeah, and so the bolter's name is I had a name and now I've lost it. I tell you what, I'm gonna do the roll for this.
Okay, roll one die.
Okay. This was a 3.
And is he a man or woman?
It's a man.
Okay.
It's a 3.
Okay, roll one more time.
3.
Albin. A L B E N.
A L B E N.
And now roll for his last name.
Oh. One
more time.
4.
4. So, S-A-U-X. Albin So.
S-A-U-X. Okay.
All right. So, real quickly, Tony, is the Abbess Buteo's only known by that name? Is her real identity a secret?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll discover it.
She has a shady past. Right?
Either one.
Does she wear a mask?
No, she doesn't wear a mask. There's no need. Only her name is known.
Okay. I imagine her as being, like, just a completely a Tilda Swinton type. Just sort of like, you don't even... You couldn't
pick her out of a lineup.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, George, who are you going to be?
I'm pretty sure I could pick Tilda Swinton out of a lineup.
But only because you know her.
I'm actually going to be an outcast, and I'm going to be a wrecker, and I'm actually the former governor.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Who was ousted because you guys are all sexist motherfuckers, and you're like, you're too lax, so we need a police state because we don't trust you.
Wait, well, so it's sexist? A woman.
Yes.
Oh, it's
her
a
name
woman.
Is Tilda Swinton.
And ironically, you couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
So we should put male, like an M and an F next to each one, so we remember.
Then here's my question about Tilda Swinton, George.
Yes.
Was she was she actually a good governor and the powers be went against her, or was she actually bad at her job?
Well, that is up to, that's a matter of perception. Obviously, the people that wanted there to be a more, you know, iron grip thought that she was bad, thought she was inept.
And I think it actually has something to do with the hallucinogenic berries that, like, gain prominence. And so, like, it created this chaos.
Well, let's wait. That's a little bit too far.
Okay.
That's too good. Let's
rein it in.
Rein
it in.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's pass the sheet on to me now. Okay. I have both of them.
I feel if we're not careful, we'll start getting into melange here.
We have no authority yet.
we will. Well, the three of us will have to pick.
I know, but I really want the governor, but I also feel bad if I chose the governor since I'm the guy who knows the game the best and has a big leadership role.
Right.
So you should be the governor.
Considering that the authority, you know, that took over, like, really wanted to govern.
All right, in that case...
You've got that drive.
I'm going to roll a name.
Are you going to be the governor?
Yes.
Okay.
Six. Four. I'm going to go with Clarvis.
That sounds vaguely dirty.
And, last name.
Six. What happened to the governor? You got Clarvis.
Clarvis Kid.
Clarvis
K-I-D-D.
That's the worst governor name ever. I will not follow that.
It sounds
that
more like a Dimber Damber name.
Yeah, it does.
I'd like to point out that 27-ish minutes into our recording, you've already broken your oath.
Oh, damn it.
All right, Tony.
Well, I do lose. Well, good game, guys.
So here's Clarvis Kidd. Clarvis Kidd used to run a company back in there with a big corporation.
Good
game,
sir.
And... we don't know if how much he was actively involved in overthrowing the old governor, but Clarvis Kidd sees being governor as a way of lining his pockets and making sure his company comes out ahead. He's
a business owner.
He's a businessman. He's a true objectivist.
He's Dick Cheney.
He has Atlas Shrugged on his. he's a total dick. All about the money, all about the power, all about. There are two types of people. There are people like me and the people I rule. That's Clarvis Kidd. All right, Daniel, who's me your character?
He's not kidding around.
Mm.
There's so many.
Actually,
authority
I think you have side. To take you have to take that one so that you have to take Dimber Damber so that Jacob doesn't get stuck with it because we all have to take authorities now.
Yeah, but there doesn't have to be a Dimber Damber.
Oh, that's
Damber.
True.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
There's enough people playing that.
All
slot probably can be filled.
Oh, okay.
Up, so.
So yeah, you have to be Dimber Damber.
Oh, well, unless you pick an authority.
You could pick an authority and one of us could...
Yeah.
Oh,
well, no.
No. That's right. No, Jacob could...
Because
he can't.
It's one of your sides, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've all chosen...
Tony just beat us all in logic.
You can't be the
in a record time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So some for... Yeah, so I guess I'm
there
kinda,
it is.
I'm kind of stuck. I'm stuck being the most powerful criminal. let's go ahead and roll for the Dimber Damber.
All right, grab a die.
Sergeant Tim. Sergeant Timber Dimber Damber.
Just be Walter Matthau.
Two.
One more time.
Four.
Hammond. Hamin.
All right, acceptable.
Last name Matthau. I'm getting all the actors' names from the DVDs around.
Hammond Impid. I'm just gonna toss
one more die roll and we'll
bird
get your
names
name.
In here.
Pill. P-I-L-L.
Hammond Pill.
Hammond Pill.
That's a better governor
that
name.
That is...
Yes.
I'm so glad that I have the alias of Dimber Damber. It's a much better name.
So tell us
Hammond Pill the Dimber Damber.
Tell us a little about Hammond Pill.
Oh boy, see, I wasn't planning on picking the Dimber Damber, so I actually have to come up with an idea for that now.
Well, let me ask you a question. If everyone's being so oppressed in this colony, if things are that nightmarish, is he taking advantage of that to line his own pockets? Or is he actually sort of a rebellious freedom fighter saying, hey guys, let's do this. Let's rise up. What kind of guy? What's his temperament on that level?
See, it's funny because it is a little bit enticing to take a...
Because the governor could be your puppet, actually, too. You could have installed him. You could have been the person who got rid of the last governor.
See, I see Hammond as a guy... who puts up the front of being a freedom fighter, while simultaneously using the situation of this colony to line his own pockets and assert control.
And it's going to be interesting because Tony may have something to say about this, but what if the Abyss actually buys his fake exterior and actually may not like the fact that he's a total damn liar?
I am fairly straight shooting.
Yeah.
Are you?
We'll see. So I'm going to be, my next character is going to be a Marine. And he will be a Marine named Salish McIntosh.
And who is?
What's his rank?
Yeah, is he a private or is he a little higher up?
I just giggle if I called him private. So he'll be, what's above private?
Sergeant.
Anything else?
Lieutenant,
I like that.
So that's a good name. That's a good name.
Lieutenant Salish McIntosh.
So he's actually not bottom of the barrel Marine. He's actually been there for a while.
He may be the second in charge to the captain of the Marines.
So what kind of guy is McIntosh?
He, unlike the Abyss, is not straight-laced at all. He is as shady as they come, and he would love to get his hands in as many pockets as he can. He is willing to buddy up to power, no matter whose power it is.
Okay, to me. And I have to pick an authority since I picked a convict last time. And I picked a bolter, so I can't pick a free colonist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to pick a captain of the Marines. And he's going to be Captain Archibald McIntosh.
Oh!
He is the older brother of Salish.
Oh.
And he has seen what this colony has done to him. And he wants to do his best to try to protect his brother and prevent him from going the opposite way into the potential conflict.
Here's my question. Was he a bad kid who he dragged here hoping would give him some like discipline?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he kind of already sensed that. And so he was like, okay, you're coming with me whether you like it or not. And maybe Salish is kind of like, you're an asshole.
Salish came with him, but he also dragged his best friend, Creech.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to be a spouse of Clarvis Kidd.
Oh.
Named Walter Matthau.
let's give our lady name. Come on.
Nope.
Oh, is he gay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there you go.
I thought you were joking.
This is the future, Jacob.
I thought you were joking about naming Lady Walter. So, I was going to say no to that.
Back on Earth, Alabama still has gay marriage outlawed, but in space, it's okay.
Is it secret? No,
it's known. Yeah. Okay. Walter Matthau is the spouse of Clarvis Kidd.
Okay. And is he in on my schemes? Or is he like kind of oblivious to them?
I would say that about half of your schemes are actually his.
All right.
Oh, okay. So he might be the actual power behind what's going on.
Well, Clarvis wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
All right. So I got to be a convict. I'm going to roll a name again because I like the random names. Let's see. Rolling them names. Gotta keep them rolling so I can name my guys.
That rhymed.
Frandon. A convict named Frandon.
Frampton.
Her name is Frandon.
It's actually a boy's name.
And she goes by Dawn for short.
Frandon comes alive.
Frandon Croffin.
It's the worst name.
That is
ever.
An unfortunate name.
All right, and who the hell is Frandon Croffin? Frandon Croffin.
Save him.
Embezzled on his taxes once.
Aww.
And was given a choice between 10 years in prison or 5 years exploring the galaxy. He chose wrong. He leaves behind an entire family, and he's just now starting to realize he's never going to see them again. And he holds the biggest grudge against the man, against the military police officer who put him in, Captain Archibald McIntosh.
Oh! All
right.
Yes!
All right, so it looks like I will have to be an emancipist.
So you are a freed convict.
You've served
bottom of the rung, freed convict. Let's see. Do I want to roll for a name again? I think I do.
What if you're someone who is actually wrongfully convicted and you actually have been cleared of your charges? So you're now an emancipist, but you're still stuck on this place.
See, that's good, because I was thinking just, you know, petty theft or something like that, which then leads to what amounts to a life sentence on this terrible rock.
Well, you were accused of a greater crime, such as like manslaughter or something like that. Sure. But you have since been cleared, but unfortunately you're still here.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Maybe you've been here since the very first wave, so you felt the worst of it. You helped build the colony.
Lungs are scarred with whatever's in the air.
We'll find out.
One. Two.
Lymand. Lymand.
It's what makes Sprite taste good.
Six.
Halo. Haylow.
This guy sounds like a former politician that was wrongly accused of something.
I think we should keep his crime secret for now.
I think we'll work towards that.
Maybe someone on the colony
knows
or is responsible for the actual crime.
Yeah. But the fact that you didn't actually complete your sentence, you actually had it commuted, is a sore spot for only you, and everybody else just treats you like.
Yep.
We call that a sentence for. Yeah.
So here's how this works. The last bit of setup is our oaths. These are things these characters refuse to break. Tony, take this die. You're going to roll a dice twice. I'm going to give you an oath from the book, and then you're going to assign it to any character you want. It doesn't have to be one of yours.
All right. My first number is 2.
The category is mercy.
And my second is 4.
I will never show a weaker man mercy.
Mm.
Oh.
Who are you going to assign that to?
Who will never show a weaker man mercy?
So the idea is that everyone wants status, but this person will never show a weaker man mercy to get it.
I was thinking I would try and assign that to the very weakest person on there, to Miss Swinton. But
that's actually really interesting, because
she's trying to climb up.
She was ousted, yeah.
Yeah, yeah actually, yeah, yeah, that's all a right. good idea.
So she's changed. She's no longer the idealist.
She's
bitter. She'll tear everything down
on the inside.
So we think of these oaths. Remember that. Remember the idea. The unsaid word is, "I want status, but I will never blank."
That's good.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So give Tyler the die, and he'll roll the next oath.
There you go.
Okay. 2.
Mercy again.
5.
I will never kill a man.
I will never kill a man.
Ooh.
Now, is that a person or is that a man?
I think a person.
Yeah, I will never kill a person.
Is that a human person or is that any...
What the character decide. Who will never kill?
I think it might be interesting if Walter Matthau, because I think it might be a challenge to him, like a game that he wants to ascend, and he's gotten to the point where he's up at a level, but he wants to do it without having to kill anybody.
So he personally doesn't kill anybody, or he wants to be responsible, and that's how he
That's a really cool way to interpret that.
So what is it? I will
never kill a man.
Okay, I'm putting person.
Okay. All right, so George, hand him the red die, and he'll roll the next oath.
5.
The category is honor.
6.
I will never steal, nor let a theft go unpunished.
Seems prime for Archibald.
Okay. I think so. It's like Captain Archibald McIntosh was, I will never
steal. I will never steal, nor let a theft go unpunished.
This is going to be...
We have a good Captain Reigns here.
With the brother, this is going to be excellent. He's like straight-laced so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He might know something, though. I wonder if he knows something.
He also may die early.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
All
right.
He seems lawful good.
Yes, so far. That never ends up good.
Daniel, can you read off the oath as I roll it?
I will do so.
A 1?
That's a betrayal.
Ooh.
And a 5.
I will never miss an opportunity to eat well. I just imagine some giant chase scene, and then, like, a lobster dinner is hanging out.
There are all these berries right here. Yeah. I'm pretty hungry.
I'm good with my own guy. Clarvis Kidd will never miss an opportunity to eat well.
All right. Is he the he's the governor, right?
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Clarvis, if you really want this steak dinner, you're going to have to kill this person for me.
Just shipped in from Old Earth.
All right, Daniel, roll.
Oh, I'm going to.
Extremely mutated lobster.
Sentient lobster.
Three. Pride.
All right.
Lions.
Five.
I will never ask for mercy.
Okay. Let's see. Who has nothing?
That's a good one for the Abyss.
Yeah.
Or even a Hammond pill.
Let's give that to the Abyss.
Yeah, the Abyss will never ask for mercy.
So if she dies, she dies strong.
Or she breaks her oath.
Or she breaks her, yeah.
All right, so we're halfway through our oaths.
Seems like a very William Wallace thing.
Any years to die?
Did I not tell you I went around without pants?
Let's roll again because we already have a couple mercies. Let's get some more stuff in here.
Sure. We've got a six.
Self-interest.
Perfect.
Ooh.
And a four.
I will never place the people's freedom over my own comfort.
Oh.
Could be Dimber Damber.
Or Dimber, yeah, him, yeah. Hem and Pill could be good for that.
That would be nice.
That does
yeah.
That does seem to fit.
I'll never place the people's freedom over my own comfort.
What changes him so much that he would break that oath?
Maybe the Abyss.
Ooh.
Maybe a secret affair of Walter Matthau. Never underestimate the appeal of Walter Matthau.
I will not, sir. I will not.
Walter Matthau.
So on the outside, he's sort of... On the outside, the Dimber Damber is sort of like this pseudo-freedom fighter, but on the inside, he's sort of like, I want to stay here. I want to be at the top the whole time.
Well, he's prosperous here.
Oh, we have enough mercies. Let's get some more exciting things.
Five.
Honor?
Six.
We already had the one. Roll one more time.
Three.
I will never keep a promise.
I will never keep a promise.
Lyman.
That could be interesting.
Who are you thinking?
Lyman
or,
Halo.
Or the Bolter. The Bolter.
The Bolter could be good too.
Alvin Sue.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the Bolter. I will never keep a promise.
It's a good one.
What a dick.
He's doing so many berries, he can't really keep track of his promises. So.
It's not his fault he forgets, all right? It's the drugs. They're going to his
brains
head.
Just misfire.
Alright. Four?
Four. Authority.
Three.
I will never punish those who break the law. I will never punish those who break the law.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because...
Yeah.
If you were Lyman Halo, and you got spit out of the justice system like this, and yeah, you're stuck here, would you be more prone... to be mad at people who are breaking the law and getting away with it, or would you be less prone?
What if he just wants chaos?
But does he? I think he wants respect more than anything else.
See, I imagine, yeah, it would make you angrier to see people getting away with injustice
when
if
you
were...
didn't.
But...
I guess the rule book says we can always tweak this if you want to. The one right above it, I'll never forgive those who break the law. It'd be perfect for him.
That could be even better. Because it's the opposite, basically.
Yeah, the rule pretty much says that we can use this as a guide, but if we see a better choice, go for it.
Yeah, I think having the opposite's better. Yeah.
I think I'll never forgive those who break the law is a really good one for Lyman. And who plays Lyman again?
Me.
Yep. Yeah, well, I want to go through everyone put their initial by each one before we begin.
We're running low on options, by the way, just so you know.
Yep. Four.
Authority.
Five.
I will never moderate my power.
That is Salish.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will never moderate.
Wow, he's becoming a nasty son of a bitch.
So the younger brother Marine is a bad man. I think we have one left.
Yeah, our last one is...
Frandon Croffin.
Croffin.
The guy who evaded his taxes can send to prison for it.
Two.
You can re-roll if you want to. It's another mercy. You already have a couple mercies on the board.
Yeah, let's go with six.
Self-interest.
That seems like up his alley.
One. I will never allow person or group to best me.
Okay.
What, person or group?
I think that's good.
That's a good one. You can decide a person or group.
Oh.
Ooh, which specific person?
Yeah.
Oh, or group.
McIntosh, the captain of the guard.
Yes.
Because he's the one that knows something that mm-hmm. that maybe because, wrongly convicted him or something.
Yeah, like remember, we decided well. Because McIntosh was a military police officer who put him up.
Yep, I think but
McIntosh.
Good.
McIntosh is a good guy though. He thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, he thought he was yeah. doing the right thing.
But Frandon doesn't forgive or forget.
Maybe Frandon and younger McIntosh are
yeah.
Well, what if he actually buddy had buddy. A deal mm-hmm. with somebody else to take
oust
him trouble
him
and the other person
for Salish to become
that.
Captain?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Work.
Oh shit!
Oh right. shit!
So what I'm gonna do is to pass these one more time. Put your initials next to each one and remind the people at home who you're playing. I'm playing Frandon Crawfin. That is the basic standard criminal who gets sent here on a petty crime. And he will never allow McIntosh to best him, because he put him away. I'm also playing Clarvis Kidd, the former CEO turned governor of the colony. He will never miss an opportunity to eat well. He's a scumbag.
An obese scumbag.
No, actually, I picture him being very, very thin. He purges a lot.
Yeah, I see.
Rail thin. I imagine even sickly. Like, he has robotic parts that he hides under his clothing to, like, to keep his heart going.
Lots of cleansing. Juice cleansing.
I am Hammond Pill. And I will never place the people's freedom above my own comfort, which is great because I also am seen as a freedom fighter for the people.
You're the Dimberdamber.
I'm the Dimberdamber, while profiting from their misery. I am also the emancipist, Limond Halo. God, that is an unfortunate name. And I will never forgive those who break the law. Because I was falsely accused and exonerated, and yet I still live on this rock of a world.
I am the Abbess Beautio. I am the second in command to the Dimberdamber, and I know what Hammond Pill is doing, and I might not approve, because as the second in command to the highest convict on our planet, I still am fairly straight-laced, or at least above board, as far as you can tell. I am also Lieutenant Salish McIntosh, the younger brother of Captain Archibald McIntosh, who hates it here. I will moderate my power? Should that be I will never moderate my power?
Yeah.
I will never moderate my power. Says Lieutenant Salish McIntosh. And the Abbess Beautio says, I will never ask for mercy.
All right. Who are you, Tyler?
I am Captain Archibald McIntosh. I will never steal nor let a theft go unpunished. I'm basically a straight-laced captain of the guard. I do my job. I'm very good at it. But my younger brother, who is my second in command, Salish, is kind of an asshole. And he's very, very bad, and I don't like that. So I brought him to this planet, hoping to straighten him out a little bit. I'm also playing a bolter named Albin Sau, who will never keep a promise, ever. And that's because he is a former drug supplier and drug creator who has fled the colony after learning how to make the berries into a hallucinogenic drug for people to deal and stuff like that.
All right. And I am Walter Matthau. I am the spouse of Clarvis Kidd, the governor. My oath is that I will never kill a person. That means I'll never actually get my hands dirty, but that doesn't mean that I won't have a person killed. I'm very good at getting what I want via the governor, although the governor tends to think that it's his idea because he loves me. Very much. I'm also playing Tilda Swinton, who's the former governor, who is now an outcast and a wrecker, was much more of an idealist, ruled things very, very differently. There was actual freedom, and that's no longer the case now. So I live on the Outlands, and I will never show a weaker man mercy. I've had enough, you know. And, yeah.
Okay, cool. Alright, so here's for you, those of you at home following along, here's how we time the game. When half the characters, meaning five characters, have either died, gone insane, been forced to switch ranks, or broken their oaths, the game is over. Actually, we have like another round to finish up if we need to. Also, if only four people have died or have gone insane or whatnot, the game still feels like it's drawing to its natural conclusion. We can still end it. It's flexible. But the hard rule, though, is that once half has happened, we can start trying to wrap it up. All right, so here's how the actual meat of the game works. One of us will go first. It'll be me if no one else wants to. I will ask a question involving a character who is not one of my own. Unless I actually have to, I'll not be involved in the scene where I'm the guide. I'll ask an open-ended question without too many details, and everyone else at the table will then set the scene, decide where it is, who's involved, and try to resolve it. If the scene resolves fine, like without any questions, we move on. If the scene has uncertainty and two characters clash or you can't come to an agreement, we consult the dice. Once again, our servility, savagery, and status. And of course, meaning the willingness or the want to make people serve you.
I thought it was the opposite. Like, you're actually submitting. Because if you're servile, like you're a slave, you're actually submitting to somebody.
So somebody needs to submit, I think, as if that...
But incivility means, like, the driving force of it of that uncertainty die is either you're submitting or you want someone to submit to you.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Savagery, of course, means violence. And status, of course, means the desperate desire to achieve status. All right, so as governor, one of the things I have to quickly do is I have to tell you how the prisoners are held. Since we are in a place with bad atmosphere, we're in a giant glass dome. And in the dome, scattered across the ground, are a series of old cargo shipping containers. Like off of a shipping boat. Off of the ones, this is where all the food and supplies came in. We have transformed them into a shanty town, a very large, sprawling shanty town. Prisoners don't have bars and come and go as they please. They all wear matching jumpsuits, something orange, of course, and they all have collars with small explosives built in them. So they're allowed to run, but all it takes is one button press and their heads explode. Above them, hanging above the dome, is the authority quarters, which the convicts have probably nicknamed something. Maybe the pleasure dome or something. We'll come up with something better. And through the one side glass floor, the authority figures can wine, dine, and watch the workers toil away in the shantytown. The shantytown itself is actually built around the mine, where they actually are doing a lot of the mining. There are additional mines outside, additional farms outside.
What are they mining?
Yeah.
What are they mining, guys?
I think that they're mining a special metal material that is used for and potentially sent back to the home planet to build more spaceships. It's a rare form of mineral that helps them build stronger metal to build more durable spaceships in space.
I just want to say unobtainium so hard.
And, bite your tongue.
And Governor Kidd runs now privatized NASA.
There you go. Yep.
All right. So that's what like I said. So that's what our basic colony looks like. A lot of mud down below. Very clean and well maintained, and lots of white walls and very nice apartments above. But so where are we? Like, that's my contribution. I want to hear what you guys think about the actual exterior of the planet. What's it look like outside? Are we next to a mountain? We're next to a river? What's it look like outside, guys?
I want to say that we're in some sort of jungle sort of area, where because of this jungle area, the air is very thick. Because of the plants and the flora and whatnot.
Semen. Plant semen.
And the
that's
plant
what he's
semen.
Trying to say.
But the plant's version of photosynthesis is actually very nitrogen heavy, which is why the air is hard to breathe.
There we go. I like that.
And also, they're prone to explosion.
Yes.
So,
I did forget about that.
I forgot about
that's
that.
Right.
Well, maybe you can't fire guns outside because you'll ignite the plant air.
Yeah.
So once you're outside, you only use blades.
Yeah.
Or harpoon guns.
But
harpoon
blades
make
them angry.
Base harpoons.
Or how about an 8-foot snare pole?
Well, that's to catch the fauna. We're still talking about the flora.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so Tony, what kind of animals, what kind of intelligent life is out here?
The intelligent life they're not humanoid, hominid, humanoid.
Humanoid.
But they are, there's something so unlike humanoids that we can barely figure them out. They are...
Sentient shades of the color green.
Do we
like hover above the trees.
Do we know that they're sentient?
We do. We do know that they're sentient.
Space dogs?
We haven't completely ruled out space dogs.
They could be space dogs.
But they haven't shown themselves to be space dogs yet. No, what I'm thinking is that they're amorphous, and they only show themselves when they're attacking. So that's the only reason that we know that, A, they exist, and B, they're sentient. They hate us. They do not want us here.
So maybe they have some sort of, like... So they only show them, maybe they have some sort of technology. They've utilized something of the planet
not
to allow them...
Not predator-like. Like they themselves
like chameleons?
Don't need to be seen if they don't want to.
So it's a natural thing?
I'm thinking it has something to do with them
messing with their minds. Okay.
All right. Well, here's my big question. How long can you go around outside without a suit or a mask?
Without a suit or mask in that nitrogen-rich environment? I would 30 say
minutes.
For, yeah, I'd go
30 minutes.
Between 30 and if you hit 45, you're done. But you've got that 30-minute window.
Okay. All right. I have the first question. You guys don't mind me starting things off.
Yeah, not at all.
I'm going to borrow a page from this list of suggestions. I think I have a good prologue, a good Game of Thrones style doom person prologue. Let's see.
So when I said I was living, Tilda Swinton was living in the Outlands, I was wrong. She actually lived with everybody else.
Yeah. The only one that's in the Outlands is the Bolter, yeah.
Although she could potentially become a Bolter.
Yes.
But no, she got sent up on some petty crime, and that's why she's now a...
Right. What happened when Marine Private Creech discovered Albin So's drug farm and the aliens he had trained?
So you're saying Albin So trained the aliens?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Or what happened?
The berries actually enable you to see the aliens.
One more time. What happened when Private Creech, a.k.a. Salish McIntosh's best friend, found Albin So's drug farm and the aliens he had trained?
So I step
away. Now you guys decide the scene. Decide who's in it. Maybe someone can play Creech. But you're
definitely Albin has to be in it. Yeah. Albin has to be in it. I think Creech has to be in it. And actually, you're right. This is a really good way to kind of kickstart the whole thing. So Albin's already out. He's already bolted, all that stuff. So he's creating whatever he's creating out there.
Albin is a chemist, correct?
He's a former pharmaceutical engineer from home. And then when he came here, that's how he knew the
ability. So he's using these berries to synthesize a drug that he's been selling. What if he found out a specific... version of that synthesis that allows him to see the aliens and whatnot.
Totally. And I think...
Well, and it started out where he thought that they were hallucinations. Mm-hmm.
And slowly he's abusing this over time.
And Creech, the reason why Creech is going after it is because he was sent to go find Albin So. So what's crazy is there are so few Marines, actually, like... available to go out there because they might lose them all because of the noxious air and they can't survive. So they only send one guy because the idea is that that'll minimize the casualties in case
they have spacesuits.
They do.
They can be out there.
I would imagine that the oxygen canisters. I guess they would have to have a way to generate oxygen and refill the canisters, etc.
But technology has evolved to that point where they can take oxygen, the little oxygen that's in the atmosphere, and condense it into something breathable for us to have a sustainable
It's basically
suit.
Like a live... Yeah, so you don't need tanks or anything like that. Yeah, as long as you've got a respirator.
And as long as your suit is intact.
Yeah. So we've got Albin, Creech, and then do we want anybody else to be there?
I don't necessarily think so. Well, you need to pick someone pick someone to play Creech and see what happens.
I think Tony should play Creech because she's also Salish, so she'll be able to kind of create a
one suggestion on Albin. What if he's done the drugs so many times now that he can actually communicate?
I already know it's
connected to the part of his brain that enables him to see the aliens without doing the drugs.
Right, so why do you guys take? I don't know if you want the scene to be from Creech's perspective or from Albin's
perspective? I think it's scarier from Creech's perspective.
Right. In that case, Tony, start by setting the scene, telling us what Creech looks like, and Tata, when you enter, describe him physically so we get a picture of what he looks like.
Yep.
All right, Tony, and get us started.
Creech walks into, I've already forgotten his name.
Albin So.
Albin So.
Albin So's.
Albin!
I guess for want of a better word, farm?
It's the Garden of Death.
Ah, the Garden of Death. So Creech walks into the Garden of Death.
What's the Garden of Death look like, Tyler?
The Garden of Death is actually a series of like rows of plants that Albin So has spent the past... He's actually been on the run for more than a year. And he's spent that entire year cultivating different plants and seeds from the jungle to create this garden of different varieties of plants, and specifically different versions of the berries that give off different effects. He's figured out how to synthesize different plants together to create hallucinogens and stuff to communicate with the aliens. So it's just basically just a series of a row of plants, and kind of he has figured it out how to live in the atmosphere, actually, longer than normal humans can, and it might be because of the aliens.
Which so is he, why when I walk into the Garden of Death, I see you staring at nothing, what I perceive as nothing, and I go, Albin!
Machete raised over your head?
The fuck are you doing?
Oh.
Well, pull it together, man. Answer me.
Well, you see, if only you had eaten some of this miraculous fruit, you would only know the wonders that I know.
Okay, what's the street, oh, so you're what's high. The street name of the drug? Because it needs one.
Oh, yeah. We'll juice. Say, yeah, we'll just call it the juice for now.
What's Albin look like?
Albin looks like he's actually he's middle aged. He's about he's probably between 40 and 50, but he looks like he could be like early 60s even. He looks a little older than he actually totally is.
Well used.
Yeah, well used. And he totally has that mad scientist kind of look, like maybe kind of crazy hair. He's got goggles. Like he's got the goggles on. And and I'll explain what the goggles do later on. But basically, he just looks kind of withered and used, but with the way he speaks, he seems strangely youthful. Like his outer doesn't, so like the berries are having some sort of effect on him where it's preserving kind of his mind, but his out, it's kind of taking a toll physically on him.
And maybe, he does not refer to the berries by their street name. He finds that insulting.
Yeah.
So he
like
refers
he finds
to
that
them
immensely insulting
by their scientific
so
name.
Like if you accuse him of juicing, he'd be like,
"Yeah." All right. So I really want to hear why Creech is here. Let's keep going.
Albin, you know I've got to keep you out of this. You know that I can't let you do this anymore.
You've made a serious mistake coming here.
You're my best friend, man. I had to come. I had to keep you from the juice.
This is not juice. This is the next stage of human evolution.
Are you
kidding
me? And
we've only just discovered it.
This is madness. Look at yourself. You're 35 years old and you look like you're 60.
All a part of what? All
what the fuck is that?
What do you see, Tony?
A small price to pay.
What is that? Is that one of them? Is that one of the monsters? How did you get...
And
what's
then
it doing?
And then I open my mouth, and I speak in the language that the animals are... Like, yeah. There you go. There you go. That. And then the creature jumps onto Creech and looks directly into his eyes. And he just withers. Creech just withers, and he slumps down. And then Albin turns back around and starts mixing the berries back in. So he's completely lost it.
Can Albin say something like, I guess
hey,
you
got to, please, I can't.
I guess you weren't one of the chosen ones.
Oh, I guess what they promised wasn't necessarily the case.
Creech tried to reason with it.
Creech tried to reason with it.
So that's our prologue. Creech is dead. So a tone is set, tone of violence and mayhem.
And possibly a connection between Albin So and the McIntosh brothers.
Yes, possibly.
All right.
A more personal connection.
All right, so that's our introduction. And now, Daniel, it's your turn to ask a question. Like I said, you can ask questions just to get more flavor like I did, or you can ask questions to start putting people's oaths in conflict with each other.
Let's see some character sheets.
So does the dog drinking show up?
The space dog?
Well, yes, but I mean...
It's okay.
It already happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you hear water lapping, that's space dogs drinking.
Exactly.
The juice.
The space dogs are on the juice.
And remember, you cannot ask a question about a scene where one of your characters will be involved. You have to ask about other people.
So, I want to know what happens when Frandon goes to the Abyss to, well, try and get something that he needs.
Anything specific, or can I ask?
I
have something if you don't have anything.
If you have something specific, that's great. Okay. Yeah. I just want to see that character interaction.
Okay. Right.
So what is Frandon is the character that
the convict who is in prison for activation.
Okay.
Frandon, almost Rick Moranis like.
Okay.
Very small, glasses that have been fixed a dozen times from hard work and falling off constantly. Hairline that you can tell has started receding rapidly, but recently. And like his prison clothes are too big for him. Like, okay. There's one size fits all at the prison, so he looks baggy, he looks tiny. And he's walking through the shantytown, like, avoiding the crowds. It's his shift off, his four-hour shift where he's not working, trudging through the mud. And he approaches the cargo container where Dimber Damber lives, and more also the Abyss, and Dimber Damber is out. And Tony, what is the Abyss's cell slash room look like?
It's very quaint. There's not too much clutter. She doesn't want for anything, but she doesn't have very much, and she likes it that way. All of her prized possessions are in her connections and in her knowledge.
And what are you doing when I arrive?
Knitting.
I knock as if knocking is still a thing in this horrible world. Abyss?
Hello, Frandon. Please come in.
I didn't know you knew my name. I take a seat. Across. Is there a desk, or am I sitting next to you?
No, there's nothing else. Just my chair, okay. And you have to stand.
I hope I'm not taking too much of your time.
Of course not. Would you like to knit?
Oh, no, thank you. I never learned.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, you see, I know I'm not unique in this, but I don't like it here, and I just feel like. I got the short end of the stick, you know?
Would you like to go?
What do you mean, go?
Would you like to leave the planet?
No. That can't happen. What I would really want is I want anything you have on Captain Archibald McIntosh.
Oh, anything I have. You see, the things that I have are extremely costly, Frandon, and I know you're not very wealthy.
Look, if you help me here, if you find a way for me to take him down... Help me, tell me dirty his name. Drag him through the mud. Get him close to me. I will avenge my family. All avengers happen to me. And if I have to escape through death, I'll escape through death. I need your help to bring him down to my level.
These are things that I can accomplish. What's it to me?
What do you need? All right. So I think later on we're going to catch up with the Abyss, and what she'll want Frandon to do. So keep that in mind, everybody. But
so no. Does that need to... I think it ends on an uncertainty.
No, uncertainty right? Is when people are like in conflict, though.
Oh, okay, so there was really no conflict.
Yeah, there was no conflict yet.
Okay.
But now we have a druggie out in the wild murdering Marines, and we have a lowly criminal trying to get revenge against Captain the Marines with the help of the Abyss, who's asked a favor of him. So we're starting to plant our seeds for an interesting story. All right, Tony, you're your turn to ask a question.
All right. I feel like Walter Matthau needs to enter. Walter Matthau, who will never kill a person. And he is speaking with...
Your phrase is a question. That way you can...
Right. Yeah, I'm getting there. What are Walter Matthau and Clarvis Kidd talking about at night? After a hard day of work... of manipulating and never missing meals and never killing people. What are they laying in bed discussing? What is most on the mind of the two powerful people in Xanadu?
Facts.
You mean Berkstown?
Well, no, Xanadu is the pleasure dome above.
Yes.
I like that a lot, okay. I imagine that on a huge circular bed and like, right below us, through the glass floor, is right where the mine is. It's like the rare metal, like glintering up and like sparkling through our glass floor, like a disco ball.
Mirrors everywhere.
Yeah. And is Walter
Matthau? I like to watch. At the same time,
is Walter Matthau? Is Walter Matthau look like Walter Matthau?
Well, Walter Matthau looks Walter like Matthau. The sexiest version of Walter Matthau.
So Walter Matthau.
So 7X.
Taking a pill on 1, 2, 3. Walter Matthau. Yes! I'm so happy right now.
I love how you guys can all figure out what the sexiest version of Walter Matthau is while I'm stuck on Grumpy Old Men.
And Clarvis Kidd looks like an emaciated Anderson Cooper.
Oh, nice.
Oh, excellent.
The normal Addison Cooper.
And he wears, like, padded clothes, so you can't really tell when he's out and about. But, like, he has, like, an Iron Man-type reactor installed in his chest to keep his heart going. He has, like, tubes going from, like, his shoulder to his side. He's in very bad condition, but he does a good job of faking it. But when he's with his beloved, it's all exposed and hanging out. Literally, because we just finished fucking.
I'm so sorry, Addison Cooper.
Making love, excuse me. I only make love with Clarvis.
You fuck with everybody else.
Exactly. I fuck with everybody else, but I make love with Clarvis.
So we're lying in bed, and oh, Walter, that was so good.
So what's on your mind, Clarvis? What are you thinking about?
Oh, what else?
This is the greatest RP ever.
You, the lights of the unobtainium below, the spaceship that'll take us back to Earth in a year's time when we officially hit all the money we need.
13 months, honey.
13 months. Well, maybe I'll work him a little harder, right?
I like to do everything hard.
Oh, naughty boy, naughty boy.
Well, this went pretty fucking crazy pretty fast.
All right.
So Clarby, honey. what are you going to do about Alvin?
Alvin, he's not my problem. He's a Marine's problem. We'll be out of here in 12 months if I have to say anything about it.
Look, juicing is making its way here. You know, people are juicing in the streets. Is that something... Do you want that to be your legacy, that juicing... You know, becomes...
My legacy is making NASA the most profitable company in the United States. Maybe even the world. My legacy is not the juice. My legacy is gone in a year. My legacy is money. And, baby doll, honey dear, I need you to support me on this. I say let the Marines deal...
Oh, I am supporting you.
I have Archibald on it. The guy's a fucking square. The guy does what he does. He'll take care of it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I have an interesting vision... of Walter's test of never killing a man coming into fruition when maybe he encounters Albin later.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. All right, so it is Tyler's turn to ask a question.
All right. Give me a second.
All right. We can cut the silence out, or we can talk about details.
We can do all of those things, it's true.
I like that there is a recognized ship going back to Earth in
a certain amount of time.
13 months' mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. It gives us an interesting timetable.
Mm-hmm.
One we can... Excuse me, follow or shatter. I have hiccups from all the gay fucking.
Do you need some peanut butter for more gay fucking?
Emaciated cyborg Anderson Cooper does not need your peanut butter.
Zing, I guess.
I thought he never misses an opportunity to eat well.
Peanut butter is not well in his view.
That's peasant food.
That's peanut butter straight from
okay,
Earth.
Okay, so remind me Lyman Halo's sort of story. What is he?
Well, he was convicted of an as of yet unspecified crime.
Okay.
And shipped off to our prison world here. While he was shipped off, whether in transit or he maybe got word of it after he landed here, he found out he was exonerated. But he still had to live on this
gotcha.
Prison world and do his time. And... Well, in his mind, he's probably never going to go back to Earth. He's never going to see his family again.
I have an idea.
So I wonder how...
No. Tony has an idea.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to take over.
No. Go ahead.
But
go ahead.
I have an idea that your crime that you got mm-hmm. punished for and my shadowy past, or the Abbess's shadowy past, are possibly connected, and that the favor I need from you can only come from you because he's one of the only people... Or no, I guess Tilda Swinton is underneath you, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a really interesting idea.
Yeah. Mm. So we don't have to
connect
at all, but I feel like maybe there's a connection there that can come into play later.
I wonder how Tilda Swinton would react to Lyman Halo asking, because Tilda Swinton has some sort of, maybe like not much sway anymore, but she has some knowledge of how stuff works. I mean, well, she has to.
I think there are probably some loyalists, especially don't like the police state.
And so, and so she has some idea of how to, you know. So I feel like Lyman wants to leave. He wants to get off the planet.
That ship's coming in 13 months.
Yeah, and so I feel like I want to.
I was about to say, is that public knowledge though?
I think every 15 months or so, a supply ship arrives and it's coming in 13 months.
Yeah. Okay. And so Lyman, I want to see. Okay.
I think we should make it longer. That it's actually been, say, 36 months.
Yeah,
between ships.
You're right. So. Yeah, it's good.
How does Tilda Swinton react to Lyman Halo asking for help?
All right, so who's that's George and
Daniel.
Can I suggest a setting?
Absolutely.
The deepest parts of the mine where it's so hot, you're wearing special suits. You're just looking almost sunburned through your suits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so loud you can only communicate like right next to each other by screaming. I think both of you are assigned to this hellhole, and that's where you guys should have a conversation.
And keep in mind the oaths here.
Yeah.
Tilda Swinton's oath is, "I will never show a weaker man mercy," and Lyman Halo is, "I will never forgive those who break the law."
Mm-hmm. So, who's weaker in this this one?
That's what I want to see.
Right. You guys can take the study if you want to. That's my, I guess, a cool place to have a conversation.
Why would we be there?
Because you're both
both workers.
Well, I was about to say, I imagine Tilda would.
Tilda's there because she's a
convict,
extreme convict. Maybe you volunteer to get down there to get close to her.
Let's say that's kind of what I'm thinking. As in, like, a who are you kind of situation. You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
But also remember that she broke the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, supposedly.
As far as he knows, she broke the law.
Oh, but he's also desperate not to go to her.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You guys, take it from here when you're ready.
Hello.
Yeah, Layman has to.
Yeah, I think that would initiate the conversation. Yep.
Have we met?
See, I believe we. You were actually asking in character. Okay. We have not.
Do you want to tell me what this is about?
I hear that you might be able to help me with something I need to do.
Why would I help you?
Because I don't think you want to be down here in these mines, slaving away the way you are right now, when you used to have such a position of power.
What's past is past. I'm not really concerned about who I was. What makes you think I can help you?
I know who you once were, and I know the dealings. Well, we all know the dealings that you set in place. And I don't think you like it down here.
Can I suggest that Tony's younger evil marine is on duty and sees him talking and is now approaching to see what this fuss is about?
Hey! What's going on? Why aren't you wearing your approved personal protective equipment? Sorry, I just took a mind training course and they're really stuck up about that. Continue.
We're just working.
Well?
We're actually on break. I'm on break. I don't know about him. I'm on break.
Do you know there are no breaks in this mine? If you want a break, you go up surface way.
We get one break per day.
Well, it looks to me like yours
10 minutes, and this is minute 2.
Looks to me like yours is over. I apologize. I forget what my...
I will never moderate my power.
I will never... Oh, awesome.
So you're
then
doing
I'm
great.
Doing great.
You're doing awesome.
Look, I don't like it here any more than you guys do. That's why I'm taking it out on you. Get back to work, assholes.
Thank you for that reasonable explanation. I appreciate it. You know where a woman can find some berries?
Oh, one of those juicers, huh?
No.
Where you're not getting any of my stash.
We'll talk about this later, Lyman.
Arrange a meeting.
Actually, I mean, do we really have anything to talk about yet?
We have something to talk about. Meet me. I guess what's a place? We need a place that's.
How about the dining hall?
Okay. All
right. Cafeteria.
Yeah. Meet me at the in the cafeteria, third shift.
Okay.
I'm just deciding whether or not that's showing a mercy, but okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it's that's not. No, that's not showing a mercy. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Gears in motion. All right, your turn to ask a question, George.
Okay.
It's a good thing the geology of this planet is so nice. Otherwise, delving so deeply into the Earth for all of this unobtainium would horrifically destabilize the core structure.
So who hasn't gone yet?
I mean, I don't think... Don't do it based on that. Do it based on what's good.
Do questions you like. You are legitimately interested
what
in.
What are you interested in knowing next?
Okay.
You try to find ways to put people's O's in question, especially now we start laying groundwork.
Yeah. Like, for example, I put you two together because you guys are pretty much polar opposites of what you guys believe in. So.
Remind me again, Frandon...
Frandon is the guy who's here for tax evasion, who wants to get revenge on McIntosh.
On the Elder McIntosh, the Catholic Guard.
So, suggestion on Frandon.
Mm-hmm.
Is he also... who's the inside man with the convicts who helps keep the impression that Hammond is actually helping to maintain their freedom? Or that Hammond fights for them.
I don't think we have one yet.
We didn't really have one.
I think that person could potentially be Frandon.
That person could be Frandon.
Well,
and the Abbess doesn't want him. I'm sorry, I'm being my character centric.
The Abbess sees that as a threat.
Yeah, the Abbess needs a favor from Frandon to get him close to the Elder McIntosh. I'm just going to call him that because that's great.
Yeah.
And if that causes you to turn tail on Hammond Pill and start betraying him, would that...
Okay. That could be
so here's a question. There's three people.
Sure.
What happens when the Abbess overhears Hammond Pill and Frandon Crawford colluding?
There you go. That's a good one.
Okay.
Collusion.
So who's on the scene? Me, Tony, and who else?
Me, Frandon.
Yeah,
because it'd be
Daniel,
Hammond.
Yeah.
Yep. The Dimber Damper.
So I'm assuming we're in your quarters.
That would have to be. So
yes, I think that would have to be.
The Abbess is maybe
she
Tony
brings her own chair.
No, I think she's like sitting outside and she overhears it. She's not supposed to be here.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. The Dimber Damper's quarters.
What,
I believe.
What does he look like? What does his quarters look like?
I was gonna say his quarters would probably be.
You will never place the people's freedom over your own comfort, so I imagine them as lavish.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's something where it's lavish, but it's not outwardly so.
Well, would he have
because
a secret...
Memory foam.
Does he have secret quarters within
that's,
that?
That's
and
a good idea.
Are they actually meeting in the secret
Because remember,
quarters?
He's also trying to keep up the idea that he's one of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be having like the best things visible. Yeah. If he's pretending to fight for their freedom.
So maybe Hammond wants to stay, but Frandon wants to leave. And so Frandon realizes this and tries to use it to his advantage.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about we start playing the scene?
Well, here, what exactly does Frandon do for Hammond?
To
help him keep up this charade?
I manage your money that you keep getting in. I'm the one helping you organize it in the various off-planet accounts using a wonky satellite system you've rigged up that bounces off the authority stuff.
Gotcha.
But
that
you're also
great.
An organizer on the side, as far as for the quote unquote not freedom fighters, but you keep the criminals in line. You make them think that this is our friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a really good idea. I just wanted to though. All right, as you see here, I moved the funds from this company to here, and they're never going to see it coming. It's clean. Once you're ready to spend it, it's clean.
Excellent.
So I've been doing this work for you for a long time now.
You have.
And when I first signed up, I kept your secrets, I moved your money, I kept the illusion. You told me you would get me Captain Archibald McIntosh.
And I will.
What's going on?
Oh, So that was you just saying to yourself?
Yeah. Okay. That's me.
That's a bubble. Like,
things are taking an awful long time for a promise you made 3 years ago.
It's not an easy thing to get the captain of the Marines in a compromising position.
You're the Dimber Damber. Do you know how long you've taken? I've gone to the Abyss. Hopefully she's faster than you.
She can procure you many things.
Yeah, probably with the life of Macintosh as well, right?
Once again, getting the captain of the Marines in a compromising position is not an easy thing. You may believe that she has that power, but don't you think I would have exercised that already if she did? She's under my employ.
And I think she's a waste of employ. I think she's a waste of your time and money. Can she do what I do? Can she organize your money like I do?
Can you procure the things she can?
Bet you I can. Here's the deal. First one of you to get me Macintosh wins my loyalty. If it's you, we'll take her out of the picture. I'll work for you directly. I'll take her job and do better. If she does it, well, let's just say I have all this evidence to show the authority about what you're doing with their money. I'll show it to the people, and you'll be shown for what you are.
My twin's anus. You don't. That's sick.
You don't want to threaten me.
Oh yeah. I have friends in high places. I have all this information backed up. Work with me, be the most powerful alliance possible. Your secret will be safe with me. But I know the Abyss. If you cross me in the wrong way.
He thinks he knows the Abyss.
I zoom out.
Oh, do one more thing.
Abyss and Shadows.
You want to stay comfortable? Stay with me. I'll make your life a living hell, expose you for what you are. If you don't help me out here. The power's with me. Ball's in my court, motherfucker.
I'm calling uncertainty.
I'm calling...
Because that's a conflict, I think, that needs to be resolved. Does he do it? Does he decide to... I want to know who submits here, basically.
All right, well, George has to pick two dice to roll, since he's set the scene.
Okay.
Savagery and sex.
You so, put them wherever you want, yeah.
Okay. No color coded.
Gotcha.
All right, so scene can either resolve by status, since it beats this way, mm-hmm. or by servility. It cannot be solved savagely.
And you have to pick one of the two.
Oh, I pick one.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you pick this one, it's more of, like, he might just assert his status and be like, look, I'm...
Or he might be afraid for his status.
Yeah.
So which one do you think, George?
Let's do status.
Alright.
Do you
want to keep this? You want this fancy fucking whiskey I procured for you? You want those whores I dragged them there into camp, pay them to keep their mouth shut? You want the linen beds I convinced those Marines to steal for you? Stick with me and get them all. Otherwise, we'll see. Everyone will see what the freedom fighter really is.
You'll get your man. I told you you'll get your man. And on my word, you'll get your man.
I think that works. Right. Yep. Well, because it stays in line with your oath too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
So
if he had done anything differently, he would have broken his oath.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm. So that's perfect.
All right. So it is my turn to ask a question.
That's what I like though, because it's forcing that character to do something. That's awesome.
Okay, let's see.
Abyss and...
Well, the end...
I have a really good one.
The end that I had was he walks out of that shipping container and gets stabbed in the neck with a knitting needle.
Okay.
And then she wipes it off and then walks away.
What happens when Captain Archibald Macintosh... walks in on Salish Macintosh stealing an entire roasted pig from the cafeteria to feed himself and save the prisoners.
Good.
There are pigs here?
Space pigs.
Well,
space pigs.
It's like a live shot gets sent and that's been roasted up.
Yeah.
So that puts both of your things in jeopardy.
Yeah,
so.
Australian space pigs, okay. Oh man, pigs are really tearing up Australia. It's bad over there.
By the way, I envision both of these guys having some sort of Scottish accent or something.
Oh, I can do it, Brogue.
Okay, I'm not going to do it, but you can do it. Aw, man. I can't do it. It's going to sound stupid.
Exactly, so
I'm not doing
do it.
I'm
obviously
not doing it.
Obviously, it sounds stupid. Well,
this is also your first time appearing, so make sure you set the scene and make sure you describe your characters.
Okay, I think I go into his bunk. I think it's actually his bunk, and he's got, like, a plate of food there that's, like, overflowing with food. Like, no normal human being should have to, you know, should try to eat all this food, but he is, because Salish is a dick.
Oi, Captain! How are you doing? By the way, when I said it was stupid, I meant that I sounded stupid, not that Scottish brogue sounded stupid. All you Scottish listeners out
there. Salish, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm eating, would you care for a bite?
That food is supposed to go to...
It's supposed to go to whoever can procure it, and if you canna, then you shouldn't have it in the first place.
You clearly haven't changed. I brought you here to change, and you've stayed exactly the same.
And why the fuck did you bring me here? You thought I would change? You thought that I wouldn't eat?
What would Creech say if he saw you doing that?
Creech would say, thanks for the grub, man.
So you'd share it with Creech, but you wouldn't share it with anybody
Creech
else?
Is Creech a prisoner? No, Creech is my best friend.
He's also my best friend. And I don't even know where he's at right now. Do you know where he's at?
All he said was that he was going to look on that nutter on the outskirts of town.
Give me that fucking plate of food right now.
Are you going to come and take it from me, big
Yes,
brother?
I am. I'm going to come and take that fuck... So Archibald walks over, grabs the plate of food, and instead of actually giving it to the prisoners, though, he just tosses it in the trash.
Would that could be considered stealing, though, because you're stealing the food from your brother?
No. No. That's... Yeah. So I grab the plate of food, and I throw it in the trash.
All right, so you have not tolerated theft, but...
I like when we talked to her earlier, she did not have the accent.
Yeah.
Because she was...
Was I Salish before?
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
But you'll never moderate your power, and he's threatening that. Do you want to fight back?
Obviously, I want to fight back.
Right, so how about I roll the dice and see how this rolls out?
Yeah, let's roll the dice.
So he's just taking your dinner and throwing it away.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. I want to get savagery a little higher. I want to get
This might take care of a couple problems here.
Uh-oh. We have an event.
Uh-oh. An event.
Oh, shit.
So this happens. We roll double fives, which means that something special, something unique and probably horrible will color what happens next. Let's see. Event list. Tied fives. Tell a lie long enough, and it becomes the truth. Think about it. Tell a lie long enough, and it becomes the truth.
When I came here, I was your sister.
I've got it. Look, I know you don't want to be here. It's fucking clear as day that you don't want to be here. I will get you off this rock if you start acting like a normal fucking soldier. I will get you off this rock, I promise.
In 13 months.
I will get you off this rock. Actually, he knows of a other shuttle that might be coming earlier than that. It's a hidden shuttle that possibly Clarvis Kidd knows about. The governor has a private shuttle that comes.
The governor's waiting on the 13-month ship, though.
Like, oh, is he? Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Let's keep the 13-month time frame.
So Archibald will get Salish off. The rock off this planet if he starts acting
out.
I'm just
saying,
if anybody starts
knows
being better.
A hidden shuttle, it would be the old governor who never told anybody.
Oh, that could be cool.
But also at the same time, remember this is a lie. You can't promise that.
Yeah.
So. You can't promise that.
But I think you believe him, right?
I do believe him.
So
yeah.
Wrap the scene up. I want to see how it ends.
Yeah. And so I will get you off this rock. Shape the fuck up.
I've never hated you more in my life. But I'll do it.
Punch me in the face.
Of course I'm going to punch you in the face.
There you go. And then he walks off. And then I'm his brother, so I can't really, like, do anything about it. So
it's a really great scene.
But you're also his commanding officer.
Yeah, but he's
And I
also,
just moderated
yeah.
my power, so
yep.
Does that knock one of the people out?
No, I don't think
no,
you did.
No, I think she did.
Did she?
I think she did.
I did.
So this means that we now have marked this once. This means that when someone breaks their oath, which she just did, A character can no longer, a character can still appear in questions, he can appear in scenes, but can never ask a question directly about her anymore, about the character. But he can still, like, say what happens when he shows up for this. He can still die, he can still get shifted around, but he can no longer be
still hear they say Scottish accent.
But you can never ask a direct question solely about that character anymore.
How's that sound on the earphones? Awesome.
Well, it sounds beautiful.
Dan, your turn to ask a question.
Oh, it is. Let me see those character sheets.
I like how we have a threat from the outside.
Which I want to know more about, by the way.
We have the criminal conspiracy, and we have a shuttle arriving to take people away. So I think these three...
And by the way, I think that Albin Sow has a plan for that shuttle.
I think so, too.
Yeah, no,
we're on the same page. Thank
you. I want to get some Albin Sow going, actually, and I'm trying to figure out who would Albin Sow be talking to.
He doesn't have to talk to any of those people. He can talk to another minor character
how
myself.
How does drugs get distributed?
Can I throw some
doesn't. No, he. That's the thing, is he's not distributing the drugs anymore, because he doesn't need to. He no longer needs that aspect.
Can I throw a really interesting idea for you, Daniel?
Absolutely.
What happens when Walter Matthau shows up at Albin Sow's farm to wonder why he hasn't been sending his drug shipments?
There you go. That'll work.
It'd be really fun. Walter Matthau has been behind the drug machine
the
entire time.
I like that Walter Matthau is running the distribution.
And that's why he's... And he's like, hey, why aren't you taking care of this, Clarvis? And you kind of know exactly why he's not. Yeah, that's cool.
And remember, Albin Sow will never keep a promise, and Walter Matthau will never kill a person.
Directly.
So ask the question directly in a phrase you want to do it.
What happens when Walter Matthau shows up at Albin Sow's, I guess, what is it, Garden of
Death? His Garden of Death, but it's also, he also is in that cave.
Yeah,
So it's that whole kind of thing.
I just like saying Garden of Death. What happens when Walter Matthau shows up at Albin Sow's Garden of Death, wondering why the drug shipments haven't been arriving on time?
Okay, so I think Walter Matthau would, because Albin's sitting there concocting more shit.
And I think Walter Matthau would have a bunch of guards, so he can't pull off any shit this time.
Would Walter have guards?
Maybe like one or two.
I think maybe a trusted bodyguard.
Because you're the spouse, so like you probably would have at least a bodyguard.
I think maybe I have a Sonya bodyguard, but you pay him enough, doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Secret Service agent.
It's actually interesting. It's like, are they bodyguards or are they henchmen types?
I think bodyguards. I think.
Well, because I guess what I'm wondering
what
here
about
is
robotic
like
robotic bodyguards.
Robotic bodyguards would be good. You don't want the information that you're running the drug
network
getting
out.
That's
a good idea.
Okay.
It'd be bad for your hubby.
When's the last time you showered, Alvin?
What?
When's the last time you showered or took a bath? It reeks in here.
Showering doesn't concern me anymore. You know nothing of what I know.
What do you mean, what you know? What I know is that the drugs weren't there on Wednesday when they were supposed to be.
Drugs? What are you talking about?
Juice. You promised.
Oh,
me
that nonsense! I'm not interested in that anymore. I've got way more. There are things that are bigger than you can imagine, bigger than all of us happening.
Alvin, remember how you bolted in the first place. Who disabled your collar? Okay, who put you out here? You're here for a purpose, and that purpose isn't to have your little Garden of Death, which you know isn't nicknamed that because it's some ominous thing, but because it stinks in here. Like, seriously.
Oh, really? Why don't you try that cup of that over there? See what happens.
I'm not thirsty.
Uh-huh, so I thought. Okay, you know, I just remembered that there is a bag of what you're looking for right underneath that table over there. Just go over there and let me continue doing what I'm doing, and
bring it to me.
Okay, all right. Albin walks over to the table. Like you said, there's a bag. It's actually it's got two crates in it, and they're full of canisters of this kind of... It's actually kind of got a glow to it. It's kind of a lime green glow, almost like ectoplasm sort of type stuff, like the green high C shit. And but it glows like crazy. And so he picks it up, and he hands it to George, or sorry, and he hands it to Walter, and he says, "Oh, by the way, this is probably the best batch yet. You're going to get quality hallucinations and everything that you were getting before and more. Just be aware. Do not use this outside. Use it inside the dome. Don't use it outside. The bad things will happen if you use it outside.
You know, I never use your product."
Well, I mean, in general, just, you know, I don't know how you deal and who you give it to, but warn them never to take it outside. That's a bad idea. Bad idea. And so he goes back to making
when
whatever.
When you say bad idea, you mean bad idea, like, coming here in the first place, or, like...
Things watch us. You may not see them, but they are watching all the time. And, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, leave me in peace, please. I have way more important things to attend
to. If you're talking about your alien friends, I see them, too.
But do you see them for what they really are? I don't think you possibly can. So, yeah, just, you know, be on your way, and I guess contact next time you need a shipment. I promise that it will be even better than the last. I promise.
You're not Albin anymore, are you?
Yes, of course I'm Albin. Albin is Albin. Albin has always been Albin. I really need to get back to work. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of this. But I need to get back to work.
Can I order one of my robots to kill Albin, who's not actually Albin's, but is a has actually been taken over, has fused consciousness with an alien?
I think it's a little... I want to see what Albin does next.
I do, too. I think it's premature to kill.
Okay, but this is my suspicion.
Also, he promised you a better shipment, and he never keeps a promise, so I think there's going to be something even worse waiting.
Yeah, but, okay.
Yeah, and I also think that... I think the repercussions of what's going to happen when this drug gets distributed will be amazing.
So let's rewind just... I didn't actually say I don't think you're Albin anymore, but subtext, I don't think... that he's Albin anymore.
Here's my question, based out of this scene. Mm-hmm. Do you think I'm a fool? I mean, your husband character. Do you think like you're doing this because you just want your own power, or because you always run behind the scenes and think I'm an idiot and never notice?
You know, I think how this person honestly loves the governor, but at the same time, needs to have their own sense of power, and
I think Walter has to be making a play at being the new governor. I think that's the only logical kind of step. But what else would he go for? He's got everything else.
But I think what George is saying, what makes Walter Matthau really interesting, is that he doesn't want the power. He just wants he enjoys being behind the scenes.
So he wants to keep his husband in power. Then
he wants to have access to power without actually being seen as the person.
I think Governor Kidd, his whole thing is that he's actually not as powerful as he thinks he is. He's only in power because his husband's keeping up there.
That makes sense.
And he's like he has sort of pompous view of himself, but it's all for naught, because if his husband vanished, any sense of power or control he had over his prisoners or his men would just go away. Yeah. And I think the drugs keep the people in line. And then the only people were in line because of the drugs and because of Walter. It's a damn good scene. Tony, you're trying to ask a question.
It's 6 months down the line.
Yay! Ooh.
That means there are only 5 months. That's not the right math. Seven months.
So,
until the next ship.
We didn't actually resolve the Tilda... what's your character's name?
Oh,
Lyman.
Lyman.
Well, it can Lyman still going on. It can still
here's,
be going on.
Here's the thing with the game is that it could have already been resolved. It could have happened off screen. We can jump in or even flash back.
I still wasn't sure. What are you trying to get from Tilda?
Well, I think we determined that it's passage off of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that Lyman has some sort of in to something. Maybe it's the secret shuttle. But needs Tilda's help, possibly Tilda's old connections, to get them both off the planet. And that would be the reward for Tilda helping him out.
Would Tilda be showing a weaker man mercy, helping you in the first place?
Yes, but
unless
at the same
you
time,
had something that made you more powerful.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. Maybe we need to workshop something that would give Lyman... Lymond or Lyman? Lymond. That is the worst name. And we could workshop something that gives Lymond an edge over Tilda.
All right, well, it's Tony's turn to ask a question, so let's see what she has.
All right, it's 6 months down the line. It's 7 months until the official shuttle arrives, and 3 weeks until the secret shuttle arrives. We have...
So there is a secret shuttle.
Was the shuttle there the entire time? The secret shuttle's repaired. The repairs are complete.
Whatever.
Well,
Three weeks.
Yeah. I like
3 weeks until a secret shuttle.
Secrets.
There's, in the underground, the lottery to get aboard the secret shuttle is booming.
Oh, so it's like a black market lottery.
The Abbess Beautio has been slaughtered with her own knitting needles.
Okay.
And Frandon Crawfin is now second in command.
You killed your character?
I killed my character.
Who killed her?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, she was mysteriously killed by her own knitting needles.
by my own knitting needles.
Okay, so...
But...
Yeah, sorry.
In the ranks, Captain Archibald McIntosh has heard about the lottery. And wants to get his little brother off.
Ah.
He goes to meet with the new second in command... Frandon Crawfin.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I want to see where it goes from there.
Let me see the character sheet real quick.
Okay. Yep.
So, 6 months down the line, what happened with the drugs? And what I think...
There's still, I mean, it could be a while before the drug... You had enough for a 6 month supply. What I think is that
this new form of drugs has actually made it to where the alien life form, anybody who takes this can actually take control of that person. Of their consciousness, which has already happened. It's just kind of a switch.
To be honest, that's exactly where I was going with that. Cool. And what was going to happen was, I'm not going to get into that because we're going to do this right now.
Okay.
Okay. So it's Archibald and
remember if things happen before this on your question, say
months
before that.
Yeah. Okay. So Archibald and Frandon, and I'm coming to you for to get Salish off the.
And I'm now in the Dimber Damber's chambers because they're now my chambers.
So now, wait. So you're the Dimber Damber, or
no?
You're
no,
now?
Second in command.
He's second in command. Oh, okay. So stays
but his
with
chambers are now my chambers.
By the way, you've also moved up, so that would be another one, right? Because now you're the abbot.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. All right. So we're at. Three things so far.
Or you can be the Captain Sharp.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's better the abbot. Yeah, because he's not really.
I'm a computer tinkerer guy.
All
right, so I'm sitting here and I'm enjoying some imported scotch.
I knock because fucking Archibald knocks.
Come in.
Looking for the Abbess Beautio.
Dead. Talk to me now.
Well. Oh, okay.
Got a quick flashback?
Yes.
Quick flashback. I was video sitting outside of... what's my character's name? Frandon's hobble. Knife in hand. And from behind her, Frandon comes up with one of her knitting needles. Stabs her in the throat repeatedly. Lets the body drop and walks away. So I murdered her.
Perfect.
Okay. And then the flash suit, Dimber Damber, seeing me later, I hand him the bloody needle. He approves. Okay.
I'm nodding.
All right. Everyone cool with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Ooh, I'm making one more suggestion.
Yeah.
Since he is the one who... He's the one who arranged this. He let it leak so that Archibald could get...
You were reading my mind.
Okay, so then go on.
How about you're in the scene?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you're sitting there secondarily while I'm running all the business.
Sure.
And maybe you can butt in because you don't like this happening.
But why would I not like this happening?
Because
I'm the one who set up this meeting, is what we were just talking about.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm the one who brought him to you by letting this leak and
setting
this up.
All right.
If this is your reward.
Have we met before? I feel like I've met you before.
Nonsense. Have a seat.
Okay. All right.
Tell me what you want.
Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know.
Tell me what you want.
I have a brother who is unhappy on the planet.
Oh, aren't we all?
I know. Yeah, apparently everybody's unhappy. Oh. I'm personally am fine. I mean,
you're fine up there in the end of the day.
Yeah,
you're
I mean, I'm having a grand old time.
You come down to the muck, wade through the mud to visit us plebes from Xanadu. What can I possibly give you?
And then I pull a baton out and I just go, yes, I do.
And then
you think that gives you power here?
Snap your fingers and a guy and some guards show up.
and they're just guards behind me or whatever.
Yeah, got a couple guys step forward with bludgeoned objects of their own.
Fair enough. I can see I'm outnumbered. And you know what? This was not a visit to get anybody. I want no trouble. Let's be honest. I hold up my hand.
Give me your baton.
I don't know that I'll give you my baton.
Give me your baton and we'll talk.
Snap again.
I gave him the baton.
Okay, well,
get the baton. Always wanted one of these. He's hit me in the head enough times. I feel like I'm very familiar with him. Now, what do you want? What can we help you with?
I was wondering if I could get a passage for one off the planet on the shuttle that's about to arrive.
The shuttle, the so-called secret shuttle that's not a secret, houses 28 people. 19 slots are full. What can you offer me that others can't? I'm sorry, what can you offer us? I'm sorry,
Is it an us in this situation, though? Is that going to be public knowledge?
As far as I'm concerned, it's a me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just showing you errors.
I can give you... Okay, so... flashback. Sorry, I need a flashback, because otherwise this is not going to work for the character. During the 6 months, Archibald has done his damnedest to figure out how to get Salish off the planet, and in doing so... His unwavering ability to withstand corruption has sort of wavered a bit. He is starting to get swayed over to the dark side in order to have to get stuff done. And as a result, he's actually seen some of Clarvis Kidd. He's been in the same room as Clarvis Kidd, and he's noticed something a little bit different about Kidd, and that Kidd is a little bit more nervous than usual. And, like, he's not quite sure why, and...
Tell me this. Tell my character this.
I'm just setting it up for the character so we know why he's going to tell him this stuff. Archibald now will do pretty much anything to get Salish off the planet, because that's what he promised, and he wants to keep that promise. So, Archibald, Hammond, I can offer you guys the governorship.
Why would he want that?
Money.
Do you think that if I wanted the governorship, that I couldn't get the governorship?
Not as easy as I can give it to you.
We don't like easy, Captain Archibald McIntosh. Do you know how I know your name?
We have met before, haven't
Earth,
we?
8 years ago. Let it be known that somebody has been stealing money and goods from the authority, sending them to all kinds of locations via an illegal satellite connection. Someone's been assisting a Dimberdamber, who's neither of us. Someone is a rat, and someone has been ratted out. And authorities are on the way right now to capture one, Captain Archibald McIntosh. You better run.
Oh, conflict.
Let's roll the dice for this
uncertainty.
One. Yeah, I think because I'm not quite sure how Archibald would go out of this. Because like he could go a couple different ways. He could go out in a fucking blaze of glory, which is like he tries to fight,
kill me, and run away.
No, exactly. Yeah. And so like I don't really know. So I want to actually leave it to the dice though.
It was Tony's question. So which dice do you want to roll?
I want to roll.
Savagery's at 5 right now.
Savagery is at 5. We'll keep that one and roll servility and status.
Oh,
status
shit.
Is at 2. Servility is at 6.
So it can either be servility or savagery.
Savagery is the obvious answer. Servility may be really fun.
But yeah, I was gonna go with servility.
Okay.
So, Captain, you can run. You can try to kill me. Or you can imagine that you get a fair trial. And let's let him come take you. Give up.
I think that this is a feud brewing, like a big time feud brewing. So, Archibald's going to give up, but not in the way that you think. I think he's going to give up and have himself. So Archibald basically
play the moment.
Archibald sighs and says, "You'll never get away with this. Never." and then he turns around and walks out.
Just like, okay, and I'm assuming he got captured off camera?
Yeah, he gets captured off camera, and basically he's letting himself be captured.
Cool. So I think he's still Captain of the Marines. He hasn't shifted quite yet.
Maybe, not yet. Maybe we'll see his trial soon. Yeah. Well, because he might have something up his sleeve or something like that, but probably not.
Neither right. one of you gave.
Yep.
I like that a lot. I like where this is going. All right, Tyler, it's your turn to set up a scene.
Okay.
Did you enjoy your present, Alvin?
It was the best. I have a quick question. While Tyler thinks of his question... Are you just luxuriating and enjoying Figurehead while I truly run things, or are we true partners?
That's an interesting question, actually. I feel like maybe in this 6 month period,
Does Tony need a new character now that hers is dead?
Yeah. Oh yeah, technically yes.
Technically, you do. Yeah.
I'm okay setting scenes.
We placed money in the slot though.
Oh, okay.
All right. Since that character, who was a convict, has moved up.
So we can either have a convict. Oh yeah. So we need a new convict.
We got a new convict. Tony, give us a convict name.
What are prostitutes called?
Sables.
Sables.
Yeah. So you can be a Sable if you want.
That would make you a Sable.
Okay. Sure.
I'll
be a Sable, and my name will be Blow.
Yes. So I was gonna go with Chloe.
Oh, that probably would have been better.
How about
Blow?
How about Chloe Blow in quotation marks for her special skills?
Sure.
What would be the last name?
Blood.
No.
Cloverfield.
Batman.
Babble.
I'm sorry. The way we're getting names is we're looking at our DVD shelf, and right now we're on the B's and
Arthur.
C's.
Freeway.
Cocoon.
Chloe, Cocoon. Chloe Blow Arthur.
Arthur, that's fine.
And what is her connection to this group? Or does she have one?
She is the Sable for both the Dipper Damber and the new Abbott.
Okay.
Sure.
Works for me.
Okay. Okay, so...
We'll see how she... We'll see
we
how
really
she...
are partners now.
Does she need a new oath? Does she
yes.
need
what do you get an oath for?
You guys pick an oath while
I'm
thinking
about this.
All right, so let's roll an oath for our new Sable. Betrayal. 4. I will never deny or abandon my faith.
What
if she worships the aliens and is a subject of Alvin?
Sexy faith.
That is exactly what I was thinking of as soon as she was brought in. She is Alvin's inside woman.
And she worships him like a god.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Alvin knows shit that nobody else does.
But she's also part alien.
I will never sway from my religion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
has merged with the aliens as well.
This is good. This is a great addition.
Okay. So, in that case, I want to see, what happens when Haim, well, we just did that.
Oh, we got to throw a suggestion?
Yeah.
What happens when Chloe Blow Arthur sneaks the drugs into a batch of the governor's food?
Yes. Yeah. So what happens when Chloe... Well, how would she do that?
How's she getting close to the governor?
So in addition to being a prostitute, she also works...
Sable.
Sable. She works in the kitchens, specifically... delivering food to the governor.
Just like Australia.
She's too weak and pretty to work in the mine, so
yep.
they have her like
they
be
have her,
a
yep.
maid.
So mm-hmm. so what happens when Chloe Blow Arthur delivers Clarvis Kidd's food, but it's laced with the drug?
Okay.
And I would say Walter Matthau is also there.
That's our decision. Yeah.
Oh,
the question.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So I do think that a good scene of us at the dining room table, when she arrives, give us the food, and we'll play it out from there.
Okay.
Big ornate dining room, animal heads in the wall. All right. So let's have you lead the scene. Enter with your food.
And what do you look like?
I enter with my food. I am weak and pretty, and let's see, brown haired, very long hair, a kind of vapid, ethereal look to my eye, and that is the rapture that I feel being on these drugs and feeling the aliens all around and inside.
Okay. Oh, there's our food. Finally, fucking lags.
Higuasa. Oh, God, I just went with an accent again. Here you are, sir.
What is this?
It's the food you ordered.
Is this what food passes for? God damn, I can't wait for the fucking transport ship to arrive.
You know, we still have that secret stash of space. We could cook some of that up.
Oh.
But, sirs, you haven't tried it yet. Don't you want to try it? It was cooked up special just for you.
Give me just one moment, please.
Stop trying so hard.
So I actually pull out this powder that tests for the drug itself.
How would you know the check for it here?
I haven't for 6 months now. I haven't been trusting Albin. I've kind of onto his plans. He's not Albin anymore. I have been synthesizing my own drugs, because my own berries, and I know enough about it as well.
A reason for this distrust, did something happen when you brought that last supply shipment in?
Yeah, no, people have changed in a way, and I've noticed that, and I basically have created potentially an army for Alp, and I know it. So I won't let them get my husband.
Let me see,
But the thing is that they haven't actually been brazen enough to try the food yet. I've actually been paranoid. So I actually have it in the equivalent of a salt shaker, and I basically just sprinkle some on there, and it turns purple.
Oh yes, sirs, it's in the food. It's also in this needle. And I
stab my robot bodyguards.
Right, here's what happens. I go still. I start shaking a little, grab my chest, and I throw up my clothes, and my robotic parts are, I'm too weak to handle the drug. My chest bursts in a shower of sparks. I start frothing, blood turning purple and pouring out of my eyes and
Carbon!
Mouth.
Yes, sir, you feel it. You feel the rapture.
And then, you bitch!
And then, scanner style, I explode.
And I strangle her to death, which violates my killing.
And I think that's the end of the game. So.
We have one more round to wrap it up. Okay, so whose question was that?
That was mine.
So okay, so here's what's happened. Let's examine this scene in detail.
There's a few loose ends. Yeah.
Clarvis Kidd has died.
Just a few.
Killed by Albin. Or by Albin and his religious cult,
yes.
By extension. Which means that the new governor is Walter Matthau.
Yep.
Walter Matthau is assumed a position.
Yep.
Earlier, you were talking about Walter Matthau penetrates.
All right, so what we need to do is we need to have a new swell planter or spouse created by... Since I died, I'll create him.
Okay.
I definitely too soon for your spouse.
He will be a swell of some kind... He will be... Let me roll a name.
So swell.
Okay. Name of our new character is, Guile.
Street Fighter.
Guile Keech. Guile Keech.
It goes with everything.
Keech?
Is that Creech or Keech?
Keech.
Oh. Okay.
Keech.
Actually...
Let's make it.
Guile Creech. Yep.
Yeah.
And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get an oath together.
Wrap it up.
Pride. 4. I'll never take charity from anyone. Okay. Never take charity. And I know it's your turn to ask a question, but I want to say that Guile Creech has arrived on the 13-month transport to a... claiming to be a merchant, wanting to open a bar. He comes to a total police state where, under Walter's command, everyone's locked down so hard, nothing's coming in and out. The hunt for Albin is on. Things have gotten worse than ever. Guile Creech is here to avenge his brother's death by killing Albin, but he wants to do it himself. Doesn't want help from anybody. That's
okay.
His character.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So, George.
George, you're next question.
So, wait, so we're fast-forwarded 7 months in time?
Yeah.
We're, yep.
Under the secret shuttle, because... The plot line I had for the secret shuttle is...
Well, let's say Guile Creech arrives in 13 months, on that date. We don't have to be there yet, though.
Okay.
Yeah, secret shuttle can leave right now if you want to.
Okay. So, because, I mean, well, it kills off a lot of people.
That's all right.
Because sorry, we're on the last round. That's where things need to get crazy.
Yeah, well, Tilda's master plan was that the secret shuttle that she was repairing that, you know, nobody knew about, but she had secretly fed the knowledge to people, was actually completely booby-trapped. And,
good!
And was set to explode. And everybody that was on it, you know, including the person that, you know, she wasn't going to show mercy to and didn't. Yeah.
Can I recommend a question then?
Yeah.
The question could be, in his prison cell, how does Captain Archibald McIntosh react when he learns that his brother died on the exploding shuttle?
Oh, that's a good one.
No!
You know, something like that. We can loop it into a surviving character and keep the story going.
Do we even really have prison cells? So, like, I mean, basically...
Yeah, there's definitely got to be prison cells. Well, but you're
a court-martial cell.
Working.
Oh, no. So. A court-martial cell would make more sense.
He's been captured. He's not... Yeah,
the prisoners are kind of free-roaming.
He's still awaiting trial.
Yeah.
But the prisoners are workers, and they're combined in, say, like, barracks. Or
but
he's a captain.
Like, he's a captain. He's part... Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, a really cool idea could be... Hear me out. Since he's an untried prisoner... He's let loose among the convicts, still wearing his uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Shackled on his arms and legs with heavy, like, 50-pound shackles.
Yeah.
So it's a way of humiliation and punishment.
Yeah, definitely. And he's totally...
I know who tells him his brother's dead.
Oh, make a suggestion.
Make a suggestion.
Frandon.
Okay, so in this scene, it's Frandon and...
Well, it's George's turn to ask questions. So.
Okay.
But, So we do want, I want Archibald to be working alongside Frandon.
Okay.
And what happens when they look up and see an explosion in the sky?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we actually witness it. Okay.
I know we can take this.
Okay. Right.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
What are we doing, though? How about...
I think... Okay.
How about we're on easy duty since and we're both like cleaning the dome.
Yeah. So it's me and you. It's Archibald and Frandon cleaning the dome together. Yeah. And actually, that might be part of Archibald's plan to get closer to Frandon, and he sort of wiggled his way into that.
Frandon was the abbot now.
He is.
Okay. But he still has to work.
But he still has to put up the pretenses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
So let's start talking. Working. Let's have the explosion happen in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Enjoying the convict life, Captain?
Fuck off.
Yeah, they don't kill you. Trial's next week, right?
Yeah, but you know, and I know, I'm innocent of these ridiculous charges.
Oh, I know you're innocent. I put you up to it. It's great. I can't wait to see you burn.
If I wasn't shackled.
I hear the governor's burning people alive now, looking for the drug. They burn purple, you know. It's fantastic.
That's so weird.
Explosion? Fire rains down, and everyone's dodging out of the way.
Did you have something to do with this?
I had people on that shuttle. I had money and supplies going home. I stopped going back to my family.
I kind of want to try to strangle you now, but I don't know.
How about in the chaos, you go for it.
Yeah. Like, you get bumped into, like, we're all getting bumped into, and I take the opportunity, because I'm kind of shackled really tight, to jump on you and try to strangle you.
Right. If you kill me, you will never avenge your brother. I can find out who drove that shuttle. You can't.
What guarantee do I have?
Guarantee that I like life more than death.
Mercy is for the weak, but I will give it to you. Find it. Find the person responsible, or I will kill you next time. That's Archibald.
All right. So going into our last couple of questions, I want to take a second to talk about our lingering plot lines. We have the religious alien war through the drugs. We have the revenge quest against Tilda Swinton. Those are two main ones right now.
Actually. Yeah, I think those are really the two big ones.
Tilda Swinton's master plan, and we have the alien drugs.
Yeah.
So looking at
which the alien drugs have been lingering in the background the whole time, and then the aliens
are slowly taking over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's my question: when Albin So shows up in Walter Matthau's office, and captures him alone and tells him that he has just turned off life support systems in the prisoner section. What happens next?
Say that again?
When Albin So mysteriously shows up, all alien-like, in Walter Matthau's office, with a plan to kill every single person in the dome.
So Albin's going to kill everybody in the dome.
Albin shows up with a plan to kill everyone in the dome.
Gotcha.
What's the plan? What happens next?
So he's actually translucent, but also like this glowing, almost white light. So
he's barely human anymore.
He's
glowing.
Okay,
let me think about what his plan is.
Well, what do you think about that?
Drag racing?
For people at home, you can hear space planes.
drag racing. Called planes, Jacob.
Okay, I've got it. This is Albin.
How do we set the scene? Like,
yeah.
What do you want?
So Albin, basically just like appears. He doesn't walk through the office. He just appears in the office.
What if he phases through?
Yeah,
the hall?
Yeah. He just walks right in, and he's like, I will kill everybody in this dome unless you give me what I want right now. And he's actually strangely stern. Like, he's not the nervous type that he was earlier. He's very direct, and he's very, very focused on what he wants. Are you willing to listen?
I'll listen.
The shuttle. The shuttle and 100 people. And as many resources as you can give me. For the lives of everyone here.
And how many lives are even left now? I don't even know.
Thousands.
If I can trust.
Thousands are still alive here. Do you want all of that death on your conscience?
I've burned so many people purple lately. I don't think there's really that many people left that I can trust. There's very few people I can trust.
Well, I'll kill them all unless you give me the shuttle. Or I'll just take it for myself. I'm giving you a chance.
So you're trying to leave this world?
Yes.
Pause real quick. When you say shuttle, you mean the 13th-month supply ship?
Yes, okay. The big supply ship that and that was his plan the whole time, was to get on that shuttle.
Okay.
I think I have a better idea. This is where I take out my special berries that I've been synthesizing this entire time that counteract alien takeovers.
Okay,
but Albin... throw them at Albin and they spark up. They actually explode because they're the types of plants that explode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Exploding plants.
Well, maybe you can light them like a little grenade.
Yeah. They're like the little bomb flowers in Zelda.
Yeah, exactly. Like bombs.
Yeah.
More word Zelda, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I've thrown these plants at you. It's like, for Clarvis!
Okay, so the plants explode all over Albin, and the glow in his skin starts to kind of dissipate, and it kind of even strobes just kind of a bit until it completely fades away, and then he pops right back into focus for 1 second, and he says, "Not so fast," and he transfers his fucking consciousness over to Walter, and now Walter is Albin.
Are you okay? George, is your character, are you cool with that?
Now Walter's an alien.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you scream, "Get out of my mind!"
Get out of my mind!
Can I suggest a capper for the scene?
Yeah.
Now alien-possessed Walter walks over to control panel, turns off life support in the dome.
And actually, what I was even thinking is that Walter now gathers up 100 people, gets them on the ship, and that's his whole plan, is he still wants to get on the ship.
Let's see if he gets there, though.
Yeah.
I think turning off...
That's still his plan.
Turning off life support is a great way to end that scene.
Yeah. So he turns off life support. Who is now... So Albin is now Walter, which is kind of confusing.
George still plays him. Okay, so we have 3 scenes left, so you guys better make good ones. So we have revenge against Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinton trying to get revenge herself. Mm-hmm. Life support's just turned off.
Spaceship's already blown up, so Tilda Swinton has gotten revenge to a certain degree.
Well, no. It's revenge on Tilda for killing those other people.
Let's see.
So many people are dead. Or in other bodies.
Or in other bodies.
Well, I wonder if in the power vacuum, Tilda kind of makes a...
I was about to say, I'd love to see Tilda Swinton's reaction to, I guess, her successful booby trapping there.
Oh my god, I have a fantastic idea.
Okay. But who all is on the shuttle, though? We haven't established
that. I imagine Lyman and
Salish were on the shuttle. The important characters were those two.
Okay. Here's an idea. What if, in the wake of the lights were being turned off, everyone's panicking, and Tilda Swinton rises up to lead them to safety?
That's a great idea.
I like that. I like that.
Well, if we find a way to phrase it as a question, then we can have a great scene.
Okay. So, in the aftermath of the life support being turned off, how does Tilda Swinton plan to survive?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it should be a good scene for George to narrate what happens by himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can add someone if we need to.
Well, let's I think we should let George take lead, though.
Okay.
All right. So, upon realizing that something is wrong with the life support, Tilden goes to where it's controlled, where she knows it's controlled, which is the governor's mansion. She hightails it to the governor's mansion. Meanwhile, she actually stops and starts to talk to as many loyalists as she can to get them to come with her to storm the governor's mansion, or the... whatever. The governor's quarters.
Yeah. Xanadu.
Fact Xanadu. to try and restore life support. So she makes her way. She's got a small army of about 50 convicts, and then she also has a small army of about 50 Marines or so. So it's a mix of the two. And she's outside the governor's... outside of Faxanadu.
What are you saying, Faxanadu?
Faxanadu, which is an NES game.
Oh. Well, there you go. I read books when I was a kid.
she knows about a secret way to enter the governor's quarters.
Because she had it built.
She actually commissioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's entered, and there is
Walter slash Alden,
which actually, has physical aspects of both and yet neither, and then also has this strange ethereal glow and is translucent. So it's a fucking freak show.
Wait, are you arguing against yourself?
I think, although he can play.
How about we have Tyler jump in and play Alden
Walter? I'll do Alden Walter.
Yeah,
sure.
I think we're having some uncertainty a second, so.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So I go running for the switchboard to turn the life support back on,
and then I reach out my hand and I blast out a force field around it that basically backs you off. You can't get to it.
In the background, can you have your alien loyalists fighting his army?
Yeah. And that's kind of what's happening is like weird glowing eyes and there you go. Yes, that versus this. All right. So I've protected that. I don't want you to get to the life support system.
Hey, we just had a quick hiccup there. So consider that your cliffhanger as you come back to our possessed alien overlord and his army battling the former governor turned prisoner for control of the life support system. And things are pretty gross. I think we're approaching some uncertainty. Guys, give us tell us what happens next.
Okay, so
is this going to be uncertainty though? Because
Not yet.
You two are battling, but I think you're pretty much at the point now where it's like I do this and I do that. So we're uncertain. Yep. So we should.
You'll never see what's coming next.
That's where you're wrong. When I was a governor, I actually used this research station that has fallen on disuse to research exactly how to kill your kind.
Oh shit! Let's do that.
I think you should roll some dice there, Daniel.
Oh boy. Okay. Well,
this necklace I've been wearing.
I think it involves an 8-foot electric animal snare.
I think it involves us in between. Wearing the entire time that seemed completely unenforced.
So, yeah, I believe that it's going to be in between servility and savagery to conclude this interaction.
It's an event. So in the midst of this battle, let's see what will flavor this climactic moment. Twos. Oh, wrong one. Hate, that most common commodity, exerts its powerful influence.
Okay. So, okay. Walter and Albin, reaches into his pocket and pulls out a detonator and presses it. And all around, the dome starts cracking and exploding, and the dome is collapsing onto the whole thing.
Maybe give us a villainous monologue as to how hate feels this. I like the imagery.
Your kind came here. You were unwanted. We did not need you. We did not want you. We will hate you forever.
If you don't need us, then why are you trying to get off this place?
In time, you will see.
I'm about to die. I'm not going to say shit.
That scene.
Yep.
Okay, so we have two scenes left. Dome is crumbled. Tony, I think there's a lot of questions you can ask right now.
There are a number of questions.
A whole host of questions that I can ask right now.
Several questions, at least.
For instance, who is it that's coming back?
Oh, but before we leave the crumbling dome, I throw the necklace at the alien overlord, and he does, in fact, evaporate.
Okay.
Okay. So I think we're left with a bunch of humans running out of air.
Yep.
The humans have 30 minutes as the dome crumbles. Yeah. Down. The aliens are glorified, taking all of their human prisoners and slaughtering them mercilessly as they gasp for air.
So the aliens were like hiding out, like waiting for this to happen.
They can see the ship approaching. Everyone sees the shuttle. The shuttle that carries Guile Creech. Nearer and nearer to these gasping people. Guile in his spacesuit steps off. Says, what the fuck? And then...
I need a question, though.
What does Guile do when he steps off the shuttle and sees this chaos going on around him? What actions does he take?
Guile is technically George's character, so...
Guile's my character?
Yep. Guile's my character. I created him because the governor died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the spouse went up to the...
That's right. Okay, sorry.
Yep.
Guile sees the aliens approaching. He sees humans being slaughtered. He sees a Dimber-Damber and the Abbot, but he wouldn't know who they are. He sees faces. He realizes that if there was revenge, it's not worth his life. He turns around and yells to the ship, go, leave them all, it's too late. And the ship flies away, leaving the entire prison colony to die.
That's awesome.
I think the last thing we plot there, with seconds of air left, we have to resolve the captain and the abbot now. I think we have to. But it's your question, Todd. You end us.
I mean, and I guess I have to.
No, the last question began with you. Your last yep. round starting with
oh,
you.
Oh, okay.
So I guess what I'll do is
if you want to break the rules and put yourself in.
Yeah, I have to because yeah. It's the only plot line that's really left. Okay. So Guile is actually. I want Guile in this scene too. I want Guile.
Guile fled though. Remember.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, he actually left. I thought he was here and then
he actually got back on the ship and left.
Never mind then. Okay. Okay, so what does Archibald think of Tilda? Or rather, what does Archibald do when Tilda comes climbing up they're climbing up the same pile of rubble or whatever. What does Archibald think?
I thought Tilda died.
Did she?
Yeah, she threw the necklace.
Oh, that's right. Shit, I keep forgetting all about this shit.
But she could have known like a secret passageway to get out.
So
quickly
what,
or something like
what that. Does Archibald do when he meets Tilda gasping for air, crawling out of a small side door, that the small hidden side door?
Can Fran be there too to wrap him up?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And actually, I tell you what,
I think everyone else is dead almost.
I think everybody else is dead, so it's really just...
Oh, Dimmer Dammer can be there.
Yeah. I think actually the three of them collide basically at one point. And I think all three of them are sort of gasping for air.
Could it be like outside in the jungle having fled the scene, like the only survivors?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they meet like in a
clearing. Thing style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
Yeah. So the big kind of thing is Archibald and Tilda. They're both like about to die. I feel like Hammond and Frandon aren't in quite as bad shape because they were kind of like away
we're
from
all about to die.
Yeah, so, yeah. Everybody's about to die.
They're about to die, but they're more pissed than
anything else. So I guess I'm gonna break the rules a little bit and have two questions. What does Archibald think of Tilda? And what do Haman and Frandon do? What do they do? You know, like what do they have to do now? Like what are they doing? So that's my question.
All right, you want to finish that first and let those two end the show?
Sure.
All right. So we're running through the jungle, panting.
This is fucking bullshit.
It's not our fault. We gotta be like a station or something out here. What's your character's name?
The other guy? Archibald.
The other guy.
Alvin.
Alvin survived it here. We gotta find his jungle cave thing.
You really think he has a stash?
Yeah. Oh, I've torn my suit. Give me your suit.
Are you kidding me?
Give me your suit.
If you thought that I would ever, ever do a thing like that.
Yeah, I tackle you when we start wrestling with each other.
And then,
George, what do you think?
Yes, Tilda.
Oh, Tilda.
Tilda enters.
Okay.
Yeah, Tilda enters. And
so what does Tilda say?
You did this.
Side note real fast.
Okay.
So I thought that Kid and Tilda were actually colluding, and that it was part of Kid's plan and Tilda's plan to have Tilda abdicate power.
It doesn't make any sense.
You
mean Haman?
Haman. Yeah, sorry.
Dimmerdamber?
Dimmerdamber.
Okay.
Where they were like secret lovers or something like that.
The Dimmerdamber and Tilda?
Yeah.
Was that ever established? I didn't know. I don't know.
Well, we don't know. We didn't know who actually set up Tilda to take fall in the first place.
Hmm.
So I think that like we were trying to get up on Frandon. Since we were both concerned about how much power, so we were trying.
I could see that, yeah. I could make a certain amount of sense. Because I guess the way I was looking at it was from the angle of, obviously, Haman is all about his own comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole destabilization of everything mm-hmm. led to his comfort going away.
Yeah.
And especially now that they're in a very deadly, deadly situation.
Yeah.
Like, he probably would have been angry at Tilda for becoming, I guess, in their sort of a hero mm-hmm. of the people. That was his kind of bag
mm-hmm.
that he was doing. And then obviously also at, I guess, Walter or Space Walter or whatever, but that's already dealt with. So, yeah.
Or they collude, like after she was brought down, they colluded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's too late for backstory now.
how about this for an elegant solution?
Mm-hmm.
Dimmerdamber is responsible for Tilda's fall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now here he is, about to die. Will Tilda get revenge in this last moment? Right, let's play that out. So we wait Tilda enters?
So Tilda enters. We're at each other's throats. I'm grasping for some sort of sharp implement. Yeah. And Tilda enters.
And I kick the sharp implement out of your hands.
And I look up. You.
Who's she?
You know who I am.
As a former governor, I think you would know who she is.
Former governor? I think she's like completely bedraggled, though. She's like completely unrecognizable, like covered in hair and mud and dirt and blood.
I shove Frandon off me. It's the former governor.
I am she! I am she who has been behind all of this! And I couldn't save it! I couldn't save any of you! And it's your fault!
And I pick up the sharp implement.
It's your fault. What did you do?
Did nothing. I did nothing.
You couldn't let me stay in power. You just couldn't let me.
You tried to clean this place up. You tried to make this place work. This place works.
Because look what anarchy has gotten us. We're going to die. We are all going to die.
In the middle of this, an alien comes out of nowhere, grabs Frandon, and pulls from the jungle screaming.
Nice.
Exit me. You guys finish this up.
But you're not going to die due to a lack of oxygen. You're going to die because I'm going to fucking stab you to death.
Heyman lunges at Tilda.
We want uncertainty.
I think, honestly, we could do uncertainty. The proper ending is Tilda killing him. I could just do it.
Probably.
All right. Tilda slits his fucking throat like a space pig.
So
I feel like Tilda should like puncture the suit and then hold the knife to his throat.
Yeah.
I guess, how do you want to die?
Through the space. Well, okay, yeah.
It's like there's already a puncture, so he's going to die of suffocation. But then Tilda has all the power in the end over how he dies.
How do you want to go?
Fuck you.
And then she slits her throat.
Yeah. Roll credits.
Oh, we still have one more thing.
Oh.
This is like the big capper, Epilogue. I think. Yeah, this is the big capper. Archibald, after seeing all of this happen as he's kind of like climbing through the jungle and he sees this happening and he's overcome with revenge on Tilda. He wants to kill Tilda so bad. And as he sees this event unfold, he kicks Tilda down and puts his foot on her hand because she's got the knife or whatever. And he says, "Fucking Burkstown." And then you hear, and then the aliens like sort of like come out of the jungle and like surround both Archibald and with Tilda on the ground.
And Tilda,
I can already see the effects. I love it.
So that was a tale of the Burkstown Colony.
While credits roll, while he's doing that, Archibald looks up and sees the ship flying off, never come back. And then it's just like, the end of it.
Oh, fucking Burkstown's a much better
idea. Yeah, fucking Burkstown.
Okay.
Twins anus.
So that was the story of Twins World in Burkstown. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on Durance, both as a game design and as like an overall experience. Daniel, what do you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. It's really interesting the amount of story that was able to be pulled from a few basic guidelines, really. Who thought that this would have ended up with alien godly drug berries controlling the fate of an entire civilization?
This was much, much more, I'm not going to say subdued, but much more realistic. But both of those words come to mind when I'm talking about it. The thing is, games like this, they really intimidate me. I like playing them, but I like setting scenes more than I like acting in them. But I really love getting together with these guys and listening to the crazy batshit things that come out of their mouths, and as a consequence, out of mine. So it really helps when you have a lot of people who are just as fun and crazy and inventive as you, and everybody can help set the scene and move it along. It's a lot better.
How about you, Tyler?
Oh, I love it. I mean, this is the kind of game I love to play. I think it's a lot of fun. I will say that if I have one kind of negative, it's not really a negative. I feel
it's
like there's
my
too
accents,
many.
Isn't it?
No, I feel like there's too many characters. I feel like it, and it gets kind of unwieldy towards the end of the game when people start dying and stuff like that. It's not really a fault to the game. It's more of just how the story progresses. Because some stories probably nobody dies. You know,
I'd
like
argue
that
that's just a fault of our game because
it's very
easy to play a game where the biggest thing that happens is if someone gets stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
We chose to escalate it, and we let it get confusing for us. But that's just a side effect of endurance.
But I think what's so cool about at least the story that played out with us is it felt like a TV show. Mm. It didn't feel like a movie or a book or anything. It felt like a TV show because you had all of these characters and you had all of these plot lines, some of which got resolved, some of which kind of haphazardly got resolved. But I mean, what was so interesting is it plays out like a TV show, it plays out like a book, it plays out like a movie, in that these small little things that may not have any consequence at the beginning have huge consequences at the end, mm-hmm. and that's all our doing. It's not the designer of the game, it's not anything like that. So it really puts the power into the player's hands, and it's just fun. It's really, really fun.
One of the things I really enjoyed in this game, I'll let George talk in a second, is that how Archibald, we never planned for Archibald to be the main character, but he ultimately kind of emerged as our central hero.
I mean, he is like, he was the straight-laced one. Yeah. I think he was always, and what's so great is like, his arc, in a way, is like from straight-laced to like, what's the word, tired and like, sick of it all.
Grizzly,
yeah. Like he's
Grizzle.
Just
Grizzly. Yeah, yeah, like, the other one.
Bear.
Yeah, he's sick of everything.
Walter Matthau like.
Yeah, he's very Walter Matthau like. And so I thought that was really cool.
All right, George, we said I'll play this game. Did you imagine it would involve a sci-fi gay Walter Matthau forming a like totalitarian prison?
Always.
That's was his go-to. Entire outcome.
That was his plan the whole time.
Exactly. No, not at all. No, if I hadn't seen the movie IQ back there, I probably wouldn't have even hit on Walter Matthau in the first place. So that was fun bringing Walter Matthau into this.
God rest your soul, sir.
Yeah, no, I mean, just the collaborative storytelling, I really enjoy it. I do like a certain amount of guidelines, but letting us basically determine where it goes, it's a lot of fun. I think like it actually recommends what 3 to 4 players typically, but you can do up to 5 is what the guide said.
Yeah, the guide's up to 5. The guide actually says 4 players is the best, but my whole thing is I like playing with more friends.
No, and that's good. It drags it out a little bit, but that can be a good thing. Can also make it more unexpected and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. I imagine with a certain group of people, you might end up kind of repeating certain storylines or certain framework.
Well, I'd hope that a good group would try to stay away from repetition.
Yeah.
Like, I know if I get this group together again, I would say from the start, okay, let's not end with an alien invasion.
And no jungles, no, yeah. You know. Like,
no drug berries.
Yeah.
No Walter Matthau.
Always Walter Matthau.
What I really love is how when you, in the first 45 minutes where you're building everything together, you're crossing things out and you're like reading up the entries and getting a different planet with a different colony, everything is so evocative without being specific. So you can like, Every time you get it, even if you got the same colony or planet again, mix match with different characters, mix it with a different colony with a different planet, and suddenly the clashing of these of the imagery creates a new painting, even though you may have played with that same setting before. It's really, really good writing, and it's really, really good game design.
Yeah, I mean, I was not expecting the setup to be as fun as it was. I mean, the setup was, I mean, really, really cool. I mean, the setup reminded me of what I do in a brainstorming session, and so that was what was really neat, is because we were trying to even, like, tell the story before we were even mm-hmm. telling the story, and I thought that was a very cool moment for everybody.
One of the intimidating things about Fiasco, which is an amazing game, is that you start the game and you kind of have to start building the story right then and there. The story has to start with the first scene. You have to build it all from scratch. Whereas Durant gives the opportunity to say, we're not telling a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 story. We're telling the major events in history of this group of people in this colony. So you can jump around and you can establish 50 years of history before you even start playing the game, because that's how the game works. The game is more of a portrait than a story, you know, in a weird way.
Yeah. You know, it's cliche, the setting's a character in and of itself, but because of the way we established the setting, the way this game establishes the setting off the bat, that kind of dictated to a certain extent to what kind of characters we wanted in that world. And, you know, of course, the world itself did play a very important role in where the story went, which I think was good game design.
I'm just sad that our Sable never got any action. Our last-minute character...
Oh,
yeah.
She got plenty of action.
She got, yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Alvin is proud.
Some flashback, because I think the Sable probably double-teamed at some point.
I think it's interesting. I really like the uncertainty wheel here, uncertainty chart. And it's one of the things where when I was prepping this episode, I decided to watch some videos and recordings of people playing Durance online. There aren't many. You see a lot of Fiasco, because Fiasco is so popular. But Durance never took off in quite the same way, but I think it's just as good of a game. And most people I've seen playing it completely ignore the uncertainty wheel. They either just let dice solve it, or they just come with endings on their own. I really like the idea of that using uncertainty, you can, there's three different ways, with one always being unique. That lets you guide your story when you do hit a bump. And I like that the game never tells you what to do. It's always prodding and suggesting. I think it's a really unique system.
Definitely.
Awkward pause. No. Daniel, any final thoughts?
I mean, other than I just very much enjoyed this game. It is really interesting, kind of as you go around the table, thinking up possible ideas of what you could be doing on your next turn, or ways you would like to nudge the story. But then that all disappears when someone else asks a question that destroys your idea, like completely destroys it, because and makes the story take, you know, one of like the 75 left turns it took.
And I think a really interesting aspect is not having allowing the player that is setting the scene to use their own characters. Mm-hmm. Because it's basically saying, don't concentrate on your characters. Try to find something else that you're interested in, even if it's a small, because that could turn into something big. Like, for example, the Archibald story ended up turning way bigger than I think any of us had anticipated. Oh, especially when what happened to him kind of fairly early on happened to him, and it's just like, wow, you know.
That's, I like how it began with him throwing his brother's food across. It ended with him, like, on a revenge quest against the dethroned governor of the entire world. Yeah.
surrounded by aliens.
Tony, what do you prefer, Fiasco or Durance?
I prefer Durance. It's got a little more structure for me, for my taste.
Okay.
And I know you guys prefer not playing a winner game with me because you hate losing. So. I understand. I'll play this with you. Hey-o.
All right, final thoughts from George and or Tyler?
I
think it's really great. I've played Fiasco once, and I really enjoyed that as well. Fiasco felt more like a screenplay. Like, it felt more like you were trying to build a screenplay. This feels a little bit more open and more like just a general kind of story. And I like, you know, yes, there are a lot of characters, but at the same time, I liked all of them. So it was like, it was really nice to have that many options to choose from. Just lots of options. You can never have too many options. And the game just provides you with tons. So it's really cool.
Well, I actually think you can have too many options, but I think that this, you know, kept a cap on the number of options you had in a good way. It's where it still felt structured. I've never actually played Fiasco, but I definitely appreciated the lack of a dungeon master, like, you know, aspect of this, to where it did feel like we are all in our own ways, you know, in charge of the story. And I definitely like that aspect of it more than the role-playing games I've played in the past.
All right, well, that was Durance. If you guys like it or want to see us play it again, or, I'm sorry, hear us play it again, or if you want to hear us play Fiasco again, let us know in the comments. So, from oneofus.net, I am Jacob Hall. You can find me on Twitter at jacobshall.com. At jacobshall.com. At
jacobshall.com.
I am on Twitter as at jacobshall.
.com. I'm Daniel Kalbacher on Twitter at a supersonic man.
I am Tony Taylor Salisbury on Twitter at the_peregrine like the falcon.
I'm Tyler Major. I'm on Twitter as at Tyler Major. Pretty simple.
And I'm George, and I am at Pop Mortem.
All right, so signing off from oneofus.net. Please tune in next time, and we... Fuck. I don't have a good ending.
And we fuck.
And we fuck.
Let me cut that part out.
Yep. And we fuck.
So thanks for joining us in the diecast. And fuck me. Fuck me, fuck me, fuck
you
me.
You just played an entire game of improv, and you can't sign on your own show. Okay, do you need a prompt?
Yes.
Let's roll the dice.
Savagery is 4.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.